Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Welcome to the Jump Trade Deadline Special, presented by Kia.
Happy Trade Deadline Day!
The breaking news, Trade Crank. If there is a trade that comes up, I am going to do this. But no, I gotta hit the Trade Crank again! I love it!
Are you pimping?
No, I'm not.
He ain't pimping, but he's pimping.
I love this show so much. Markelle Fultz is on his way to your Orlando Magic.
What?
I don't have any details yet in my ear. Has been the highlight of my day. So thank you
the
so much.
The executioner.
Welcome to the Jump! I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm here today with Brian Windhorst, Paul Pierce. So many others are going to join us, and we are going to take you through the NBA trade deadline, 3 o'clock Eastern today. We're going to give you the latest on all the breaking trades throughout the show. And you guys saw the top of the show.
Use it responsibly.
When a trade happens.
Use it responsibly!
We have our trade crank. Paul Pierce has never been here for the trade crank. It's my favorite thing. Maybe, possibly, in life. Brian, I know it's not yours.
Use it responsibly.
That's not going to happen. Coming up, Adrian Wojnarowski is going to join us to give us the up-to-the-second news on the trade deadline in real time. First, though, it is time for today's trade deadline update brought to you by Kia. And, guys, so much already happening today. The Sixers and Warriors have agreed in principle to a trade. Glenn Robinson III and Alex Burks heading to Philly. 3 second-round picks going back to the Warriors. Really going to shore up some shooting on their bench. We'll talk about that. The Kings trading Dwayne Dedmon back to the Atlanta Hawks for Jabari Parker and Alex Len. This marks Parker's 5th team in 3 seasons.
Wow.
Just pretty amazing. And, guys, this deal developing as we speak. So far, we have Andre Iguodala headed to Miami in a package centered around Justice Winslow. Now, Woj reporting that Miami still wants to include Oklahoma City in this deal so they can also acquire Danilo Gallinari. We don't know if that's going to happen. At least we do know the Iggy to Miami portion is done. So you know what that means. Guess what time it is? Here's what Iggy told our Mark Spears last night about joining the Heat.
Jimmy Butler, obviously proven as one of those guys who he's looked at as different, but very well respected in terms of the passion and the hard work that he brings to the game. And I feel like his temperament and, you know, the values that he has really resonates with the Miami Heat, and they very well align. And I think he's brought out the best in those young guys. And those are some of the guys I'm really excited about as well, you know, because I feel like I can make a most impact with those guys. And my big man, Bam, I'm really looking forward to playing with him. I've been hearing about him the last couple of years from a friend down in Miami. So helping him get better, really excited about that opportunity.
Really is amazing. Iggy's making this video. Brian, you and I were around the Heat last night, and this deal wasn't even done yet. Just starting to be reported. So some of these guys in the locker room, Miami sending Justice Winslow, Deion Waiters, James Johnson to Memphis for Iguodala, Solomon Hill, and Jay Crowder. Paul, what does this deal mean? Iguodala going into that locker room, Jay Crowder, for the Miami Heat.
Well, this puts them in the mix in the Eastern Conference because you get two defensive-minded guys who have lots of playoff experience. You got leadership, and Miami's, they've been tinkering around the 2 spot and the 4 spot pretty much all year. So I really like this move because with the East, it's pretty wide open. Outside of the Milwaukee Bucks, who I think can be vulnerable, this puts Miami in a great position to possibly, you know, get to the conference finals or possibly the finals.
If they don't add Danilo Gallinari, if it's just this group, even would you say they're number two spot in the East? Just
you know,
in terms
the East,
of threat?
I mean, I put them all in the same category because I like Boston. They have a lot of good
wins. He likes Boston.
I mean, they're good, though. I mean, just
shocking,
just keep it high. That's how you see it. Look, Boston's a very good team who could compete. And so they've definitely moved up a notch to possibly be a threat in the Eastern Conference Finals, because you never know. When you get to that part of the playoffs, anything can happen, especially in the East.
Brian, can you explain what magic, what absolute black magic Andy Ellsberg and Pat Riley just pulled off, considering how hard-capped they were?
First off, last night in that locker room, it was a little weird because the Heat players were all looking at their phones, waiting for Adrian Wojnarowski to tell them they gotten traded because the team wasn't telling them anything.
Bizarre. They were literally in the locker room trying to figure out what's going on.
None of them went on the court.
I'm going to interrupt you because we have a very big one. What? Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting, D'Angelo Russell is going to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Andrew Wiggins.
Wow.
Look at this.
Oh, wow.
We also have a 21-21 protected first round pick, a 2022 second round pick. Warriors will send also Jacob Evans, Amari Spellman to the Timberwolves as well. Woo! Brian.
So that's a huge win for the Wolves because what the Wolves wanted to do, the reason this was slowing it down, they did not want to give their 2020 first round pick unprotected. A couple of days ago, that was the kind of deal that Golden State wanted. They were willing to take Wiggins, but they wanted to be incentivized with multiple picks, including this year's pick, which we know is going to be very good. For the Wolves to be able to make this deal without having to give up their pick this year is just a tremendous deal. Completely energizes that team and really changes their outlook, especially considering they still have other assets that they did from the Robert Covington deal.
Andrew Wiggins is going to Golden State, Paul. D'Angelo Russell finally united with Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota. This is huge.
Absolutely. I mean, they won't get off Andrew Wiggins' contract, huge contract, and they'll get flexibility down the road because D'Angelo Russell doesn't have the years on his as Wiggins did. They're not going anywhere this year, and we all know that. So, like Brian said, it gives them flexibility in the future.
Just as from a player's perspective, Karl Anthony Towns was not happy.
He wasn't happy.
He's sending out his, like, sad faces on his IG the other night. Like, Robert Covington goes away. He talks in the locker room about how this was his friend. Now he gets D'Angelo Wiggins. If you're Karl Anthony Towns, how do you feel energized by that?
Just getting a player that you're friends with isn't going to make you happy.
Okay,
You know they're not going nowhere this year, but he wants to win a basketball game. He didn't make the All-Star. And so, you know, he's putting up these huge stats, and, you know, only winning is going to cure that sadness. I mean, obviously, when you get a trade.
I think D'Angelo Russell's going to help.
You know, when you get a trade, obviously, it gives you new life. None for them this year, but maybe in the future.
So, I guess going forward, Wiggins at 6'8". Is kind of a better fit alongside Klay Thompson and Steph Curry.
Well, than D'Angelo Russell was, right?
But some people will tell you that Andrew Wiggins is one of the worst contracts in the league.
Yeah.
And that you would have to attach multiple first-round picks to get him to go away. This is what executives have been telling me for months. The fact that the Timberwolves were able to get off of that deal without giving up multiple firsts, without giving up their 2020 pick, which, again, is probably going to be a top-five pick, it's a huge victory for the Timberwolves. A huge victory for the Timberwolves.
But doesn't this speak to Golden State's belief, to Steve Kerr's belief, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson's belief, that they can work their magic, and by enveloping a player in their system, their work ethic, their ethos, they can change what kind of guy he is in the league?
I think it's a statement that they didn't really like D'Angelo Russell.
You think so?
I mean, it wouldn't make this a good fit,
especially with Steph Curry and Klay possibly coming back. Didn't really fit. Maybe Wiggins fits a little bit more, but you know, I thought from the beginning he wasn't a good fit for Golden State.
If Andrew Wiggins needs to be not a number one overall pick, not a savior of a franchise, if we stop looking at him through the lens of how he was drafted and the contract he has, and we just detach him and he's just a player with his size, his ability, and what he's shown so far, because I'm not thinking he's going to metamorphosize into some magical creature we haven't seen yet. But if he is just only the guy we've seen so far, but we take him out of the lens of, man, he's a disappointment as a top pick, or man, he's a disappointment for that contract, is he enough to help a Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and high pick draft pick next year team?
I'm not so sure, because now you go from a player who looked at himself as a superstar. You know, he was a number one, two option. Now he's going to be more of a glorified role player over there. So can he make that adjustment to that type of player, not getting the same touches, not putting up the 19, 20 a game? How can he adjust his game to the Warriors system and being around other superstars? That has yet to be seen.
Ultimately, if you play with Steph and you play with Klay, You need to be able to defend, and you need to be a spot-up shooter.
Well, I don't know if he can do that, see?
He has never done that.
So that's how I look at it.
But I got to figure that the Warriors spent a lot of... don't make a lot of bad transactions.
Right?
I just can say this. They gave up multiple picks and Andre Iguodala to get D'Angelo Russell. And they did that so that they could potentially use him later. If you'd have told them last June when they were doing this deal that they would, you know, have a 2021 Wolves pick... And Andrew Wiggins, I'm not sure that they would have done it. I'm not sure they wouldn't have just said, goodbye, Kevin Durant. Let's use this cap space for other players.
Well, but who are they getting? Who are these other players that they were magically getting?
Well, cap space can be used many different ways.
Ask the New York Knicks. I mean,
I think that the track record of the Warriors indicates that they could have done better. But I guess we'll wait and see. This is a real victory for Minnesota. I mean, right now, I got to assume that they're doing a dance in Minnesota, which has been had a horrible 3 months.
Well, I want to bring in the man who just broke this huge trade. Woj, this is quite a way to start off our trade deadline special.
This is a certified Woj bomb.
Thank you very much. Well, he just had a little communication problem. He will be back. He will be with us in a minute. It's probably the interference from Woj's phone is really interfering with the cameras.
He's going off.
Right now, I think.
Going off right now. We'll have him in a second.
The next thing we should be watching is the Knicks.
Yes.
They have a new person in charge who is making the decisions. And right now, from what I understand, Both the Lakers and the Clippers are making their last offers
to
the Knicks for
Marcus Morris.
So that's the next big thing we're waiting for.
What's an interesting side note of that, considering who Woj has reported is in charge of the New York Knicks now, is Leon Rose, CAA agent. I guess now we'll have to start calling him that. We can eventually call him the president of basketball operations there. Whose agent is he, Brian Windhorst?
Well, CAA represents Kyle Kuzma, you know, and they was just recently signed. Kyle Kuzma just recently signed with CAA. So the fact that Kyle Kuzma is potentially on the books to be acquired by the Knicks right now, the fact that Leon Rose has essentially taken over the Knicks today, that's incredibly compelling as we see this come right down to it. I would assume that right now the Lakers and Clippers are in a hot pursuit for the same players. It may not even just be Marcus Morris. It may be other players out there. Mm-hmm. This deadline very much will be maybe defined by who makes a deal between the Lakers and Clippers, because they're on a crash course to determine the Western Conference.
I mean, it's not just the deadline that may be impacted by it. It could be the entire championship this season. Part of it's keep away, right? I mean, you've been an L.A. Yeah. Clipper. There is such the rivalry in that building.
But I'm not sure how much I'll do at this point in the season, because you got to factor in a few things. When you're already a contending team, you got to factor in chemistry. Who do you bring in? Who's a fit? You know, what rotation players am I taking out? What rotation players am I taking in? Like, we didn't make a trade on the Celtics the year we won the title. We just added a player, PJ Brown, you know, and it was like a perfect fit for us. We needed a backup center, a veteran, when we go deep into the playoffs. So it concerns me teams at the top making moves like this because of chemistry issues, and that could be a problem.
Well, I don't know. My counter to that is always the one team that's done it. And you're right. Teams that have done it tend not to win. But the one team that's done it, that brought in a major piece and then went on to win the title, was the Detroit Pistons.
Pau Gasol did it. Rasheed Wallace.
With Rasheed Wallace,
yeah,
and the Detroit
that.
Pistons.
Pau Gasol with the Lakers.
And then there you go.
I mean,
so talk about
Marcus
a potentially
last year,
disruptive
Marcus Gasol
force.
Was,
yeah.
was a significant addition to the championship.
Yeah. That's true, too.
So it does
work sometime. We're getting our communication set with Woj. We will have him for you. In the meantime, it's time for a special trade deadline distant replay. This date, 1995, Clyde Drexler traded to the Trailblazers to the Rockets. Here you go. This way. To the Rockets.
But first, the Blazers finally extinguished their nearly eternal flame.
Huh? Yep, the Portland Trailblazers picked Valentine's Day of all days to trade away the heart of this franchise for the past 11 and a half years. Clyde Drexler is heading home to Houston to be reunited with his former Phi Slamma Jamma teammate Akeem Olajuwon. The Glide was packaged with Tracy Murray and sent to the Rockets in exchange for Otis Thorpe and a conditional first-round pick in 1995.
The Jump Trade Deadline Special is presented by Kia. Introducing the all-new Kia Seltos all-wheel drive. And in part by Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
It's a make-or-miss league.
It's a make-or-miss league.
I'm not really sure about that.
It's a make-or-miss league.
Rachel, it's a make-or-miss league. How many times do I have to tell you?
I put you on.
How to dress.
You put me on?
Yeah.
OG, you say you put me in fashion. Wow.
Your Balenciaga hoodie.
I think I'm done here.
I put you.
I'm done. I'm done.
I put you on scarves.
You know what? We're done here today, OG.
But did I put you on scarves?
You say you put me in the fashion, then we're done today.
What about
we
scarves? Done. But what about scarves?
OG, I'm telling you. If you say it.
But what about scarves?
You put me in fashion, then I'm done.
But what about scarves?
I guess I'm done.
But what about scarves?
I guess I'm done.
But what about scarves?
That was Serge and OG arguing about scarves. It was fantastic, especially since Serge arrived last night with the biggest scarf you've ever seen. He then proceeded to hit the game winner versus the Pacers for Toronto's 12th straight win. Maybe the scarf's responsible.
Burke, I want to see you in that look.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding? No. On Kendrick, that would just be a little baby scarf. It could be the same scarf, but it would just
that
be this big.
Six foot six inch scarf on Burke.
One thing about Serge, when he looked good, he played good.
Oh, well, he looked good. Look at that thing.
Damn.
Fashion statement.
I've been on scarves since before you were born. That's an amazing line. So
Serge.
Good. Woo! Make finishes. Let's talk about the Nuggets because they were playing on the second night of the back-to-back. They only had 7 healthy players, guys, and they still pulled out a win in Salt Lake thanks to this, you know, casual little Jokic game winner. He did this in Dallas last month, too. He dropped 30, 21, and 10, and he just looks so slick about it. How hard is it to defend Big Honey?
Okay. They have had 2 crazy back-to-back wins in the last week. They went into Milwaukee shorthanded last week and won. This team is scary. I just don't know if they can do it, you know, for a full playoff run, Perk, but they are scary.
I tell you what, Big Jokic, every time he have a matchup against, quote unquote, a top-notch center, he brings his A game. And last night, I'm telling you, the big fella was in his bag. I'm telling you, people talking about, oh, he need to lose weight. Oh, he's perfectly fine, Weezy.
He has definitely played himself into shape. There's no question. Misrespect, Magic, Celtics, Jaylen Brown packing it in transition over MCW. Jaylen is just playing angry this year, Brian. He got all that money. No All-Star, not, I guess?
Stay angry. Yeah, I mean, the All-Star thing is an issue, but even if he made All-Star, if you know Jaylen Brown, this is who he is.
I see Jaylen Brown being a Celtic for life.
I love that you keep saying that.
I've been a fan of Jaylen Brown.
That's what people said about you, Perk.
Nah, they didn't.
You're right. You're right about that.
He is at the top of the list for most improved players, though. He took his game to another level.
All right. We got the microphones fixed. The TV cameras are fixed. And that means we are bringing in the man who knows everything. Here is our senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, I am so glad we finally have you on the line. Huge, huge trade. Thank you for really opening our trade deadline show with such a blockbuster. Can you give us the latest on D'Angelo Russell to the Timberwolves and Andrew Wiggins going back to the Warriors?
Yeah, Rachel, those were conversations that picked up again, you know, after Minnesota did the deal with Atlanta and Houston the other day. They've got, you know, a lot of it had been built around, Rachel, number one, how much salary Minnesota would be taking on, and then number two, what the draft pick protections would be. And so that 2021 draft, that pick is, that Minnesota pick now going to Golden State is protected to number 3. And if it doesn't convey that year, if they're in the top 3, that pick becomes unprotected in 2022. And I think for the Warriors, Rachel, you know, they know they're going to have a high pick in this coming draft. And they're
going
to have a chance to get one of the very best players. But this is not a deep draft. And I think moving, getting that Minnesota pick the following year had great appeal to the Warriors, and they were able to get that deal done. Gerson Rosas, since he took over as the president in Minnesota, he had targeted D'Angelo Russell. He chased him in summer free agency and stayed on him throughout this year. He has wanted to pair him with Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns wanted to have D'Angelo Russell as his point guard, and now he has him, and Andrew Wiggins goes to Golden State. And I think what will be interesting for Wiggins, Rachel, is, you know, they're going to ask him to play less of a role, have less of a burden than he had in Minnesota. And so you'll see how he responds to maybe taking especially on offense, taking more of a secondary role with all the great guard talent they have on the Warriors. And I think for the Warriors, they felt in the end that this was their best chance to get the most value for Russell, because there wasn't a team out there who had wanted D'Angelo Russell in the way and really needed a point guard the way that Minnesota did.
Yeah, and I always think that that's sort of a two for two because we saw how unhappy Karl-Anthony Towns was getting. Gerson Rosas was dealing with his star player being visibly, publicly saying that he didn't like the direction this team was going. So obviously, not only bring D'Angelo in is a boost on the court, could help shore up Karl-Anthony Towns as well right now.
That's right.
Very interested in what you said about the Warriors and Andrew Wiggins. Maybe it's a Markelle Fultz situation. You take the guy out of the situation where there's all that pressure on him as being that number one pick and where things didn't go well. Maybe he does become a different kind of player with a different kind of role. I want to ask you about the Knicks as well, Woj, because earlier today you and Ramona Shelburne reporting that CAA agent Leon Rose going to be the next team president of the Knicks. How did this come about, Woj? And I appreciate, by the way, he keeps looking down at his phone in case there's another major trade he's going to break on this show. But until that happens, tell me about Leon Rose.
Well, I think Jim Dolan has known Leon Rose for years, and he has been one of the elite agents in the NBA. He's based in the metropolitan New York area. He's had, you know, a number of his clients on the Knicks throughout the years, including Carmelo Anthony and the first client he ever had, Rick Brunson, who had a significant career with the Knicks. And I think Jim Dolan, you know, he tends, when you look at his history of hiring, to go with people he knows and has some level of history with. He's gone away from that at times, but you know, they looked, and I think Dolan looked in New York at, you know, Rob Pelinka with the Lakers, and obviously what Bob Myers has done with the Warriors is something of a model. But remember this, too. You know, whether it was Bob Myers in Golden State or Rob Pelinka with the Lakers, what this hasn't been is a pipeline of players from their former agencies.
Right.
That's not how those organizations work, and that's not necessarily how this is going to work. This isn't college recruiting. This isn't you just go out and bring in the guys who you have relationships with. It's obviously much more complex. They have a belief that Leon Rose can put a structure around him, can put an organization together. And listen, he's got great relationships. He's well-respected around the league. You saw the New York Mets make a similar hire from a baseball agent from the same firm. So Leon Rose is going to be the next president of the New York Knicks.
Well, you and I both like Leon a lot. We think he's very smart. I wish him well in that situation. Woj, thank you so much. We will be glued to our phones waiting to hear from you throughout the day. In the meantime, let's talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. They agreed to send 3 second-round picks to the Warriors in that package for Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson III last night. Perk, I have thought Philly was maybe the biggest story going into this trade deadline because they had the highest expectations. They have met them the worst of any team in the league, and they needed to make a change. Do you think this does enough to address their shooting concerns?
No, I don't. I don't love this. I mean, they had to do something, obviously. You know, I'm a fan of Alex Burke. I don't know, obviously, what Glenn Robinson has to bring to the table because he's not battle tested. When you're talking about a contender, when you're talking about a team that you're talking about wanting to go to finals or possibly winning the championship, you have to bring guys in there that are battle tested, that has already been through the war. And I don't think these guys are solving the problem. I think it was just something that, you know, hey, let's try it out. It's trying it out, and I'm not impressed by this at all.
I know I'm supposed to talk about the Sixers here, but I'm still thinking about this Warriors trade.
Producer Steve has worked so hard.
I know, I'm sorry, Steve. I heard what just Woj just said there. I don't like the idea of waiting for next year for the pick because the Warriors or the Wolves have the third worst record in the league right now. You have to assume that they're going to get better next year. I would have really wanted to have a 2020 that I would have wanted their 2020 pick, even if it was top three protected. I would have rather had the opportunity to have a top pick this year and next year. I'm not crazy about that, but okay.
The Sixers
just didn't have. We haven't even gotten to the Grizzlies Heat trade yet. The Sixers didn't really have a lot to trade. They had a very low threshold of what they were going to be able to do. They made it clear to teams who were calling them in the last few weeks, we're not going to trade any of our top four or five players. We're not trading Tobias Harris. We're not trading Al Horford. They needed to upgrade without giving up much, and they got two guys on minimum contracts. Guys on minimum contracts are typically on minimum contracts for a reason. That said, Alec Burks could help them win a single playoff game here or there.
Look, it was through the buyout market that they got Danilo. I mean, that they got. I've got Danilo Gallinari on the brain right now.
Marco Bellinelli,
right? It's through the buyout market, right? That they got guys who, by definition, as you would say, hey, they were on the buyout market for a reason, but they changed.
That's a fair point,
right? They changed
their course of trajectory that year. Looking at what the Miami Heat have done, where they have picked up two solid rotation wing players, the Heat. And you look at the Sixers, and they're competing to try to beat the Bucks. I think you would say that the Heat completely routed him in that group.
Well, but this is why this is hard. This time of year, this day is where we see how hard this job is. And you can be someone like, well, I think Elton Brand is really smart, has certainly worked his way up to get that job in the front office, made some very good decisions so far for the Sixers, but it's hard. And maybe not every decision is as good or right or turns out the way you would want it to.
It's easy to sit here.
But that's what distinguishes the Miami front office. So far, the Clippers front office. There are elite front offices, Oklahoma City in this league, and there are all kinds of days of the year where we talk about who the very best players are, and we talk about Kevin Durant or LeBron or Giannis or any of these guys, and the guys maybe in the next tier. They're not bad players. They're very good players. They're all-stars, but they're not these guys. Today is when we see who the Giannises of the NBA front offices are. And you mentioned the Heat. They made a deal that made them one of those front offices.
Go ahead, Perk.
Oh, no. And Rachel, I agree with you. Listen, Elton Brand is doing all that he can right now. But then once again, you have to address the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is Brett Brown. He has to find a way to put all these guys in position to be successful. And he has failed to do that. Al Horford speaking out on it. Joel Embiid not pleased at this moment. And right now, he has to come up with some type of game plan or some type of system that's going to put all these guys in position to be successful, that they want to play with each other, that they're going to be successful and win games. So I don't fault Elton Brand. He's doing what he's supposed to do. But I am addressing Brett Brown right now.
Hey, Brian, you know what Kendrick has never heard?
I hope there's a trade.
We got more of that coming up because we are still expecting trades in the next couple hours. Marcus Morris is on the block. We've got the Clippers and Lakers waiting to make a move. Stay tuned. We're also going to be talking about the Rockets because they have gone all in on small ball. That gigantic 12-player, 4-team trade, was it the right move? We will discuss it next on the Jumps Trade Deadline Special.
This is the Jump Trade Deadline Special, presented by Kia.
Welcome back to the Jumps NBA Trade Deadline Special, presented by Kia. I'm checking my phone because we just had another trade reported, which means I get to do this! Matt Barnes.
I'm too old for that.
Welcome.
Hey, at least I was ready for you. Almost made me pee off camera because I wasn't ready for the last one. That one scared me.
We have got it rolling today. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Houston has traded Jordan Bell over for Bruno's. Producer Steve, you got to help me on this. Caboclo. The two will exchange second round picks as well. That follows the huge deal that Houston did yesterday. This is all part of the same strategy for Houston. The Rockets moving Clint Capella ahead of the trade deadline in a deal that netted Robert Covington. So Matt, huge strategy change for the Rockets. They're going all in on small ball. Is this going to work in today's Western Conference where you have Anthony Davis and Rudy Gobert and Nikola Jokic?
Small ball, I feel like, is what the league is transitioning into. But there's still a few teams out there that are scary big, like the Lakers, like Utah, like you mentioned, Denver. And I think we take what Draymond Green does at his size for granted. Mm-hmm. You can't just plug anyone in there. Although P.J. Tucker is a very solid wing defender, he's not a basket protector. He's not someone that's going to be calling out coverages, knows how to show on picks, knows how to drop on picks. Like I said, Draymond makes all that look really good at 6'6 and under. This is going to be a very difficult time. Offensively, I don't think they'll miss a beat. But defensively, offensive glass, rim protector, that's where Houston scares me with this decision.
This small ball thing, you got to stay. Golden State probably are the inventors of it. I mean,
back with Don Nelson, right?
Yeah, they mastered it. You got to understand, their small ball consisted of a defensive player of the year and MVP candidate.
Yeah. Kevin Durant.
So like, you can't just like love people in a small ball.
Right.
You know.
Now the Rockets would counter and say that they've got two MVPs on their team too.
That's a once in a lifetime type of lineup they put out there. I mean, you need size at some point in the playoffs, even if for like 15, 20 minutes, like you said, you got Gobert, you got Nikola Jokic, you got Anthony Davis. I mean, they're going to expose you.
But think about
this. Here's the thing though. Let's think about this, okay? You're not going to play both of those teams. You're probably only going to play one of them.
I don't know. They're in six of the Western Conference. Yeah, they could end up with both.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate because someone has to. And here's the thing. They had Capella last year. They didn't use him in the postseason, guys. They didn't feel comfortable enough with what he was doing as a rim protector and some of the other things we're talking about. So maybe what Houston is doing, and I don't know this for sure, is they're going to wait for the buyout market to get themselves a big, maybe an Ian Mahaney or someone like that, that they in the buyout market to fortify this spec. Because this is, look, it's do or die for the Rockets. The way they were going, it wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. So this is how Darryl rolls the dice.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm all in on this concept that nobody believes in. I'm going to bet that we can do it. But I guarantee you, somewhere along the way, there's a big...
And they've said that they want to try to pick up more.
There'll be another.
Like
and I would counter that to say, he just didn't work against Golden State. You know what I mean?
No, I understand.
He didn't work against Golden State a lot. They were a dynasty. They ran into a dynasty. Houston, everyone fell short a few years, but people forgot they ran into the Warriors. Warriors are out the way now. So to me, you can't have a point guard as your best rebounder. There's no way you're going to survive. As Russell Westbrook is your best rebounder now. And that's going to be hard to contend in the playoffs.
I don't know, man. After they lost to the Warriors at home in that Game 6, where Steph Curry didn't even score a point in the first half and Kevin Durant was out... I don't know about this ran into a dynasty thing. They had a problem, right?
Yeah,
they had a deeper, more deep-seated problem. And by the way, it wasn't working this season either because they were in sixth of the Western Conference.
They were.
So I am okay with them trying something else. I just don't know how it's going to work. Now, by the way, the Rockets play the Lakers tonight here at Staples Center. So we're going to get a good idea right away. Now, Matt Barnes, I love that pretty much every time you're here, you bring some breaking news with you. That is so kind of you. You just dropped a new episode of your All the Smoke podcast with Steven Jackson on Showtime. Fantastic. Everybody should check it out. And you guys interviewed Kevin Durant. He had said some very eye-opening things about when he knew he was leaving Golden State.
Yeah.
Take a listen, everyone.
When did you know that your time in Golden State was up?
I mean, I knew just about halfway pointed through the year. I mean, I could feel like... You know, there's a separation between the two. It just felt like everybody was just waiting on me to make a decision on free agency, even, you know, from the coaches to my teammates to the media. It's like
there was a narrative
was like,
throughout the season.
KD, like, what you going to do? It's like January. And I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to hoop.
Matt, all we heard from KD during last season, he wasn't going to make a decision until he saw the end of the year. He was going to let the season play out. That he came on your guys' pod and said he actually felt secure in his decision by midseason. What did you think of that?
I respected and understood the situation because I was in that locker room and saw how the media pit him against the rest of the team. It's the Warriors and KD, and that was the narrative that everyone ran with. So he came out and said he probably knew at the halfway point some stuff had happened. I think we all saw the Draymond situation. That really hurt him. But at the end of the day, whether he knew or not, he still went out there and played as hard as he possibly could
every single night. Absolutely. I mean, it cost him his body.
Came back and tore an Achilles for that team. So whether he knew he was leaving or not, he would never say nothing, and he just did what he had to do as a professional. So now people want to get mad and bash him. Oh, you checked out. No,
no.
He still did his job every single night. And like I said, it cost him could have been a career in the injury. Luckily, medicine has forwarded enough to get him back. But he still played his butt off, and I respect that.
I mean, the media, Jackie?
Right, but can you imagine, too, if you ever said halfway through the year, yeah, peace out.
No, I mean, I agree.
Right. So, and I agree, play just as hard. I think something else significant happened halfway through the year that may have colored his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about Kyrie Irving in Boston, mm-hmm. who about halfway through his tenure there, I think decided it's time for me to move on. I reported at length about Rio in 2016 with DeAndre and Kyrie and KD on that boat talking about,
their
you know
version
what, someday,
of banana boat.
Right.
Yep,
someday
exactly.
we want to play together.
Very big banana boat.
And to Kyrie's credit, too, by the way, he never said a word about what he was going to do mm-hmm. until the year was out.
Actually, Jack, he said he was re-signing with Boston before the season.
Oh, but that was early, hon. We're talking about halfway through the year. That was like the first 3 weeks in. And then he just said, I'm going to do what's best for me.
Right.
And so neither one of them tipped their hand, but that doesn't mean that
Yeah. And look, I want to make it clear. I have not heard at all from your podcast after that or anyone else that Kevin Durant checked out on the Warriors.
Right.
I just don't think that's the narrative. Oh, absolutely.
I think, too, absolutely. Sometimes what people have to understand as players, of course, you may have a feeling going in, but you're not going to say. So the fact that he sits down after the season and opens up.
Yeah.
Now people want to be mad at him, but players know.
After the game, what you're seeing here is Steph and KD and the hug that they had that you just saw on their screen.
It was a real hug.
That's a real hug. No, like, you can tell that. And I thought that was really nice. I mentioned on the show yesterday, I think that the Warriors and as a whole, Steve Kerr, Steph, Clay, and then Kevin Durant have been pretty great about each other publicly since Kevin left. But it wasn't like that when Kevin left Oklahoma City.
Right, but why wouldn't they? But he won two championships for him. He was the MVP.
I'm just saying, Jackie, we've seen it go the other way, so I am praising the fact that everyone has behaved in a classy way. I think that's worth remarking on.
I want to remind you
what just happened with the Warriors, though, and the Timberwolves, because we had a huge trade to open this show. D'Angelo Russell going to Minnesota to join Karl Anthony Towns in exchange for Andrew Wiggins. Matt, I want to get your take on this.
I'm not sold on it. I don't like it, to be honest with you. Not that Wiggins is a very talented player.
So you don't like it for Golden State?
Golden State. Yeah, I just don't see where he fits in that. You know, Paul and I were talking off camera that they kind of have, if you're not a Kevin Durant, you're kind of a 3-and-D type wing, and that's neither of those are his strengths. You know, so where does he fit in? I understand the culture, you know, organization, where players go in their organization plays a big role in how their career is, you know, how their career goes. I still think he can't get I was the number one pick and hasn't really lived up to that standard.
Yep.
Well, so, you know, I said on the show the other day, I thought I was the last person on earth that thought Andrew Wiggins in a new environment might work.
Apparently, you and Bob Myers.
Bob Myers and Steve Kerr. I'm feeling a lot better today. And everything you said is true, Matt. But I would say this. The one thing you have to remember about Andrew Wiggins, he's been with one organization his entire career, an organization that had a lot of turnover, a lot of turmoil,
passing away coaches,
GMs, changes. So if Andrew Wiggins wants to succeed, he's got to be willing to let go of that number one pick. He's got to be like Dwight Howard in his resurgence with the Lakers and say, okay, my career's hanging in the balance. What am I going to do to salvage it?
You know, how do you ask a player to reinvent himself? He's in the prime of his career age-wise.
I understand.
And, you know, before the season, he said, I am a top 50 or top 100 player in the league today.
Right.
So he has to find a way, I think, to reinvent himself.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully the culture, the environment can help change that, being around champs, being around veterans. But, you know, like Matt said, I don't know how does he adjust. I mean, he's been a star his whole life. He's given star minutes. He's given star opportunities. I mean, you know, he gets star treatment.
So you should go out to lunch with Dwight Howard.
And so now it's like, you know, he's going to be at best fourth option. You know, how is he going to take that in, you know, especially being so young and in the prime of his career?
Well, Paul, during the break, I was saying to you guys, I said, oh, but he'll be in that really encouraging environment of Steve Kerr and Steph Curry. And what was the guy you guys brought up?
Draymond is going to stay on him.
Yeah,
so there will be a little bit of Jimmy Butler type style in his ear.
Maybe that won't be so bad.
Joel Embiid keeping an eye on things, tweeting out, quote, what's going on? What's happening? Well, Joel, we will tell you what's happening. Coming up, we were going to be talking a little bit about Los Angeles because the trade deadline clock is ticking. Which L.A. team most in need of a move? One of them is going to make one within the next hour and a half. That is pretty clear, so stay locked here. First, though, here's a distant replay from this date. And you know how I keep saying we could just make distant replay Kobe Bryant every single day because every single day he did something spectacular? Well, here he is on this date in 2003.
If I was a team out there and knew that the Knicks might want to trade
him. Oh, man, I remember this.
Wow.
He did that same dunk against Minnesota. Yep.
Nine straight 40-point games. Nine.
Sheesh.
Nine. 40 points.
Is that a Madison Square Garden?
Woo! Our NBA Friday doubleheader starts at 8 o'clock Eastern with the Raptors taking on the Pacers. Then Damian Lillard, who has been on an absolute tear, leads the Trailblazers against the Jazz. Coverage beginning with NBA Countdown, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the app. And I want to welcome in now our front office insider, Bobby Marks. Thank you, Bobby, for joining us. I tried at the top of the show to explain how Miami just pulled off what it did, considering where they started.
Yeah.
But you are much better at this translation than I am. Can you please tell people just how difficult the situation Miami was in when they started this week and why it's so amazing that they pulled off what they did?
Well, Rachel, it was nearly impossible, and I think there's three different ways to look at it. First, that Deion Waiters contract was close to untradeable as it comes, and if it was going to be moved, it was going to probably cost them one of their young players. They also didn't have any first-round draft picks to send out in a trade because Oklahoma City had most of those picks. So you basically turn Justice Winslow, Deion Waiters, James Johnson into Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder in and saved money towards the luxury tax.
And well, they were hard-capped too, right?
They were hard-capped. They were $12,000 before this week started. So they were really restricted as far as what they were able to do here. And, I don't get it. hey, great for Miami, and Andy Ellsberg and Pat Riley are as good as it comes. But if you're Memphis, basically you took on Justice Winslow, who had been out 150 games since he's come into the league, at the cost of $28 million of Deion Waiters and James Johnson, and basically just eliminated you from the summer of 2020 when it becomes with cap space.
Yeah, it's amazing. You said during the break it was a Jedi mind trick. That could possibly be what happened. So I don't know. We'll have to look into that and whether there are NBA rules against Jedi mind tricks. If there's not, then Pat Riley and Andy have obviously figured out a way around that. I want to ask you about this D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade that we've been talking about. How does this help the Warriors financially? Because that's an aspect, I think, that a lot of people haven't seen yet.
Well, it helps them now and it helps them in the future. The Wiggins for Russell swap is basically cap neutral. Both players are on max contract. There's about $100,000 difference. But what Golden State was able to do is they traded Jacob Evans and Omari Spellman to Minnesota, and they went under the luxury tax. And that's important for next year because they are not a repeater tax. They will be in a luxury tax next year, but instead of paying a $85 million tax bill, now it's going to be probably around $55 million. So there is significant savings. Remember, we talked about Golden State being in a tax before KD went to Brooklyn, that it was probably going to be $160, $170 million tax bill. So they go under the tax this year. They save about $30 to $35 million for 2020, 2021.
See, that shows us, Bobby, billionaires, they're just like us. They want to save money and clip coupons, too. It's just that we want to save like 30 cents at the grocery store checkout, and they want to save $30 million. It's lovely.
Billionaires don't like writing million-dollar checks, Rachel.
There we go. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you more throughout up to the deadline beyond. Thank you. All right, before we move on, we have another trade, so... Yeah. Scalabissieri going from Portland to Atlanta for cash considerations. Very interesting to watch Portland. The machinations, we will watch them over the next 2 hours because, again, when stuff like this happens, sometimes it is a precursor to something else. And Damian Lillard certainly is wanting to go for it this year. All right. Presented by Kia, I want to shift gears to the teams that play across the street from our studios here in Los Angeles. Ramona, I'm going to start with you. You just tweeted this out. And look who we have, Ramona Shelburne. It's like one of those things like broadcast news where they say it in the ear and then the person speaks. Ramona tweets and then she magically appears on your TV to explain the tweet. It's fantastic. You said pretty epic battle going on right now between the Lakers and Clippers. Explain what's happening and the stakes of the negotiations.
So this has been happening now since the summer,
right?
Where the Lakers and Clippers have been competing for players. Marcus Morris is the latest player that they've both been trying to compete to land. And I think both of them see this as much as wanting to acquire Marcus Morris from the Knicks as keeping him away from the other, okay? So it's offense and defense.
Yes.
And, the Knicks conversation with the Lakers have begun and ended with Kyle Kuzma. They want him in any deal. And the Lakers have kind of taken their time deciding whether they want to put Kuzma in a deal. Right as I walked onto your set, I got a call. I think you saw me talking to somebody. I think even at this late hour, they don't seem inclined to put Kuzma in the deal. It seems that the Marcus Morris and the Knicks are pivoting towards the Clippers on this. But again, it's a late hour. Nothing's done yet. And so now that you're the Lakers and if you feel like it's pivoting the other direction, do you then go and come back around? So this is fluid. I think both teams right now are looking at the buyout market and whether or not putting the players that they're trying to keep out of this deal is worth holding on to them, and then who's going to be available on the buyout market.
Guess who's not going to be available on the buyout market? Andre Iguodala. We know that now.
Right.
What do you think, Matt, of Marcus Morris going to either one of these teams? And if you were the Lakers, would you make that swap, Kyle Kuzma, Marcus Morris, not only to get Marcus Morris, but to play keep away from the Clippers?
It's interesting. I mean, what other sport is this exciting mid-season? Like, this is crazy. Like, this is like a reality TV show in the middle.
And
I mean,
it's happening right now for the next couple hours on this television.
Right. It's going to be an interesting move. You know, also the buyout market holds Darren Collison. You know,
that's
so
right.
if
does it, though?
Yeah.
Do we know that yet?
I've talked to people close
to him.
And I think he's pretty good idea he's coming back. But like I said, both teams lost out on Andre.
Yep.
I talked to Andre 2 weeks ago at ESPN in New York, and he said the Lakers and Clippers are most likely his destination. So for him to go to Miami, great for him. Morris is an interesting piece, a great piece guy that can, get his own shot, knock down shots consistently, a tough guy, someone you love to have on your team. If he goes to the Clippers, that's definitely going to help their second unit, and down the stretch, he could probably be someone you see playing. So it's cat and mouse. The Lakers have been high on Kuzma. That's why he didn't go this past offseason. And I really think Kuzma's starting to find his way. We've talked a lot because he told me one thing he told me early in the season was, it's so hard to lose the minutes he lost and then the touches he lost. And he's trying to reinvent himself and try to figure out, how do I still fit in this grand scheme of things? Mm-hmm. And what I continue to tell him is, you have two selfless superstars.
Yeah.
So get energy points, cut, rebound, transition, offensive glass, knock down the shots when they're given to you. So I really think he's starting to find his footing, and I think the Lakers possibly see that. So that's why they're probably it's a little harder for them to come up off him, because he is such a young, promising talent.
And he's gotten a good contract, and he's an asset going forward. So
many of those.
Yes.
Right? If you're the Lakers, there are not many ways to improve your team right now, except maybe on the buyout market. Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso is another player that teams call about, ask about.
There was some reporting yesterday that there were phone calls just going into the Lakers.
Yes.
Not going out, going into the Lakers on Alex Caruso. And I saw such a reaction from the Lakers fan base. It was like you had said that they were thinking about trading LeBron or AD.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the level of popularity that Alex Caruso has. But, like, in terms of players that other teams covet or have value for, it's Kyle Kuzma, number one, and then Alex Caruso, okay? And I don't think they're in a place right now where they feel like, is this really the deal that they want to do? And are there better opportunities or other opportunities on the buyout market coming up? Because they do have a couple options. Darren Collison, I think, my understanding, he's been working out. He wants to make a decision next week. One, if he's going to come back, and two, which team he's going to do.
I might just call him during the break.
Yeah, you might.
We need confirmation.
Marcus Morris is an interesting guy.
Total reporting here. Yeah, you're the newsbreaker here, in addition to Ramona, Brian, Woj, and Bobby. Come on.
Well, I mean, look, Marcus Morris is an interesting guy, even just defensively, because this is not just playing keep away from the other, it's also defense, okay? If you're looking at if you're the Clippers, the Lakers' biggest strength is in their front court with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Marcus Morris helps in that post defense, and he's a tough guy. Scott Perry, the general manager of the Knicks, he still is,
right?
Okay, handling these negotiations, has compared Marcus Morris in conversations with both the Lakers and the Clippers to Rasheed Wallace when he was in Detroit. Rasheed Wallace was a pickup that they added. Now, we don't want to put them in the same sentence as players.
Well, Scott Perry is going to try to compare in terms of toughness and in terms of adding someone to a team, Patrick Ewing and everyone else. What about, though, his toughness? What kind of thing do you think Marcus Morris could bring to a Lakers team?
He's a dog. You know, he's a dog, and I think that's what Boogie was going to give them. You know, I said, you don't want to compare their talents. They're different type of players, but you need another dog. They got a bunch of good players who are nice. They need some dogs out there. So I think Marcus Morris would have been someone that could definitely bring the dog aspect to that team. But like I said, if you let him go to the Clippers, like you said, it's an offense and defensive game. You let him go down the hallway, now you're adding another dog to a kennel full of dogs.
Yep.
You know, so it's going to be an interesting thing. But also, the Lakers kind of feel like they have what it takes to win a championship right now.
Mm-hmm.
So why do anything really drastic? Yeah, we saw the trade deadline last year is where this team fell apart with all the talking and rumors, who's gone, who's up. So I think they're trying to avoid that this year. So, like I said, they don't really want to ruffle the feathers too much because they really feel like they have enough to win. But if they can get Darren Collison on a buyout, I think that would be the cherry on top.
Yeah, but here's the other factor with the Lakers. LeBron James is 35 years old.
They don't have to.
So you can sit there and say, hey, let's wait. Let's hold on to Kuzma. Mm-hmm. That's our only asset going forward, X, Y, and Z. Maybe the Clippers take it this year. We'll go for it next year. He's 35. He will be 36 next year. And that clock is ticking over Rob Pelinka the entire time. I think that is also a factor here. We will find out, because it's only an hour left until the trade deadline. Keep it here. What are the Lakers and Clippers going to do? What are the Knicks going to do? Some of the biggest franchises in the league are involved as we get down to it. First, though, here's a special trade deadline distant replay. This is from 2008 when the Lakers got Pau Gasol. Take a look. Pivotal.
Nearly 40 years ago, the Lakers sent three players to Philadelphia to acquire Wilt Chamberlain. In the summer of 1975, it was four players to Milwaukee for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. 10-plus years ago, it was Shaquille O'Neal to L.A. in a free agent signing. Those were franchise-changing moves, three of the game's greatest big men. Acquiring Pau Gasol, the Lakers hope, is a season-changing move. Memphis franchise leader headed west because the Lakers are headed south without their latest big man, Andrew Bynum. Gasol averaging 19 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists this season. He's a former Rookie of the Year, former All-Star, 27 years old, 7 foot, can play the post and the power forward. Lakers coach Phil Jackson said Gasol could make his Lakers debut Sunday against Washington. Lakers are 5-8 since losing their center Bynum to a knee injury. Los Angeles sends to Memphis Kwame Brown, rookie point guard Javaris Crittenden, first round draft picks in 08 and 10, Aaron McKee, and the rights to Mark Gasol, Pau's brother, who's playing overseas. That's odd. Hey, Kobe, what do you think about this deal?
It's a matter of us just gelling now and just putting it together. I mean, we got a great bench. We have a lot of length, a lot of versatility.
You are watching the Jump Trade Deadline Special, presented by Kia.
Welcome back to The Jump. We are less than an hour from the trade deadline. It has already been crazy here, and there is more to come. First big deal of the morning was Andre Iguodala going to the Heat for Justice Winslow, Deion Waiters, James Johnson, Jay Crowder also coming back in that deal. Mm. We also had a huge trade to start the show. D'Angelo Russell going to Minnesota. Karl Anthony Towns finally gets his guy. Oh, this is a little bit about the Heat Grizzlies trade. I'm already moving on, though, because I got to tell you, this Andrew Wiggins to the Warriors deal, we've heard from Jackie McMullen and Kendrick Perkins on this, but Amin Alhassan now joining us. I want to get your takes because we have some very split thoughts. Jackie has hope. Kendrick doesn't like it. Where are you? Be the judge.
I'm rolling with my dog, Kendrick Perkins. Here's why. You can say whatever the Warriors felt about D'Angelo Russell, about the fit wasn't there, about maybe he wasn't all they expected. All that's valid. But you knew at least one thing. You had at least two suitors who were interested, Minnesota and New York.
Right.
Maybe even a third down the line, Phoenix in a few months, who knows, right? You knew that interest was there. Meanwhile, you didn't really have that much interest in Wiggins, and there's no interest for Wiggins anywhere because of that contract and obviously his inability to live up to it. So in this case, even if you tell me, get him around Clay and Steph and he'll be changed, you're still inheriting the risk. So in order to inherit that risk, I need to be compensated for the risk I'm inheriting. Because Minnesota, you're getting your guy.
Right.
You're getting the guy you wanted since last summer. I'm getting some dude.
You're going to pick. Number one overall.
But a pick is not enough.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and I don't know this. Is it possible we're going to find out later that they're assuming some of that salary?
They're limited in how much cash they can throw that way.
But I do want to say, even if that's not the case at all, we had Bobby Marks explaining earlier that as crazy as the Andrew Wiggins contract is, as big as it is for a guy with his production,
it's a year shorter.
It is saving the Warriors money and really lowering their tax burden and taking them out of the repeater tax.
So take that, Amin.
That is important. And I heard you say earlier, billionaires are just like us. They're clipping coupons
just like us.
But I still think you're inheriting the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, today Minnesota said, we gave up someone we didn't like, and we got the guy we loved. And we had to give up a pick to make it happen.
All I've heard for the last 4 or 5 years is how much they love Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, we all heard it, Rachel.
All right, so again, less than an hour from the trade deadline. We've already had this huge trade at the top of the show. And during this show, I am telling you, you are going to get another one because the Lakers and Clippers are fighting over Marcus Morris. The New York Knicks are, I mean, this is amazing.
I love
once
this.
Again, it comes down, even when the New York Knicks are let's just face it, not a good team. They are involved right in the middle of so much in this league. And we have two of the biggest franchises, plus the Clippers, one of the contenders for the title this year, involved in this crazy battle. Who knew Marcus Morris would be the center of intrigue?
The key to that.
It could be the tip of the championship.
Think about Marcus Morris. Like, he's with the Spurs for like a second. And then he's, no, really, he's had a crazy few months. And I can tell you, having been with him in Boston last year, he was one of the loudest and toughest voices in that locker room. And sometimes the young guys didn't like it at all. And sometimes Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris had to be separated. But someday, Jaylen Brown's going to look back and think about the lessons Marcus Morris is going to try to teach him. He might even thank him. He really is an incredible locker room presence. He's tough.
Right.
He's tough. But he's shooting career high from the three-point line. I think he's worth the fight. I really do.
And not only that, he's a key because whatever team gets him is keeping him off the other team.
That's right.
And there's a game within this game. Part of it is he can absolutely help either the Clippers or Lakers. Part of it is I don't want him to help the other team. And so that's why you got to be aggressive.
I was standing earlier this season with Rob Pelinka and David Griffin having a lovely conversation. And I brought it up. I want to make this clear. I made some sort of comment about Drew Holiday possibly being available.
Right.
David Griffin chimed in. He's like, he's not available, first of all. So that was the end of that. But Rob Pelinka made a joke. He goes, as long as you guys don't trade him to the Clippers.
There you go.
That is literally how present it is for everyone on both of those teams.
To me, it's the same thing as you look. I mean, not in the same category, but think about it. They both was in the battle for Kawhi.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't want to lose that battle with Kawhi. But to the Clippers have always been high on Marcus Morris. They had a contract in place for him in the summertime before they signed Kawhi. So it's no surprise to me. The only thing I have to say about this is where does Marcus Morris fit in it? For the Clippers.
Well, let's wait and talk about that
and what the compensation is. What's the compensation like?
We're going to get to that if it happens.
Sorry about that.
Mo Harkless. We're already doing this.
He can end up going to the other team. Just hold on. Do you know how you know when there's a trade? That's how. Oh, my God.
Yes. She broke it. There you go.
Look at my face.
They cut it off. Get that person a raise. Who did that? Lois, is that you? Get that man a raise.
Look at
that. Cut her off.
There's an actual screw loose.
There is an actual. This is going to get fixed before this trade happens. Mark my words.
More important things.
All right. You're going to hear the opening bell right now of the stock market. We give you numbers you can buy if you think they're increased or hold steady. Sell if they're decreased. Okay. I promise we will break into this if there is a big trade. But while we are waiting, you are waiting at home. Let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks because people do not talk about them enough. They are on pace to win more than 70 games. They hold a 12.4 points per game differential, which would be the highest in the history of the NBA, more than any Celtics team, more than any of the 90s Bulls teams, more than any of the 2010 Warriors teams. Perk, buy or sell the Bucks breaking the point differential mark.
I'm buying. I'm telling you, this team is dangerous. This is one team that needs nothing. They have everything. They have shooting. They have, you know, Giannis, who's the most dominant player in the NBA right now, who I think probably is going to win the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year and join the category of Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm. They have point guard play and Eric Bledsoe and George Hill. They have shooting. I love what Wesley Matthews has been doing for this team. And they have rim protection. The top three guys that's leading the league in rim protection is Brook Lopez, Robert Lopez, and Giannis. And that is phenomenal. So, hey, I'm buying.
I'm absolutely buying them with the point differential.
Sorry.
I do think they still have some things to address. Because
there were some murmurs they could make a deal today.
Absolutely, because the game plan to beat them is still the same as it was last all season. And that's an important thing to remember. The point differential is great, and it's a great indicator for success, but it's also built on playing 29 teams. When you get to the playoffs in a seven-game series, it's an adjustment game. And when you talk about if they match up, for instance, against a Miami Heat team that today looks like it's a lot deeper, a lot more experienced, and maybe better shooting if they can get the Gallinari piece in there, that's a danger to them because last year they could not adjust beyond what they were doing initially, and Toronto exploited it.
All right, so you're right.
they're elite at pushing tempo. We all agree on that, right? So that's totally what we should be doing. But I will tell you this. I looked this up because I was interested. I like to look things up. There is not one Milwaukee Bucks player in the top 78 of this league for average minutes.
Well, that's because they don't have to.
No, no.
They're all sitting.
But this is incredible. I can't remember an elite team where no one in the top 78. Giannis averages, think about this, your MVP averages less than 31 minutes a game. Yeah. There is not another player in the top 100. And the reason I bring this up is because the thing about pushing tempo, what coaches always say, is it wears your players down. By the end of the year, they're too tired to play that way.
That's not an issue for them.
Milwaukee Bucks.
I want to get to LeBron James because according to Defensive Real Plus Minus, it is not Rudy Gobert. It is not Giannis Antetokounmpo or Anthony Davis that ranks as the best defender. Mm-hmm. I just named a bunch of Defensive Player of the Year candidates, but guess what? LeBron James is at the top of the list. Now, in the previous 6 years, LeBron had not finished higher than 11th in this metric, taking a lot of criticism for his defense. Rudy Gobert, in fact, been number one the last 3 seasons straight. I mean, are you buying or selling LeBron leading the league in defensive RPI?
By the end of the year?
Yeah.
I'm going to sell.
Whoa!
I think he'll be in the elite. He'll be up there. But I think also we're going to see some slippage a little bit in terms of as they get closer to playoffs, the frenetic defensive pace that he's been at this far in the season, at some point you won't need to do that because the Lakers are so far ahead of everybody. Being fresh for the playoffs is going to be more pressing concern. So I think one of the other guys will probably surpass him then.
What do you think, Jackie?
I agree to a point. Mm-hmm. I think that you got to give Frank Vogel a lot of credit because he's got them to buy into the defensive schemes they're playing. And don't think LeBron didn't hear all that criticism about the defense. But I also think if you watch the Clippers play, they're really getting into their defensive groove because their guys are starting to play better together. So I think you're going to see some Clippers players' numbers get into that defensive conversation as well.
I'm buying. I think LeBron James is on a mission this year. I haven't seen Bron this focused since he was trying to bring back this first title in Cleveland. And I love what he's doing. He's taking charges. His chase down blocks. We haven't seen that in years to come.
This is why I think your Giannis is going to repeat his MVP statement. I think that he could get a lot of competition from LeBron James.
LeBron is right there under him. My top two, Rachel, is Giannis and LeBron. And Bron know this, and I told him this at the start of the season. And you know what he came back and told me? He said, oh, don't worry about it, Perk. In due time, my real reclaim was mine. So, hey, he's sure. He know this. I don't hide nothing from him. I tell him.
There you go. All right, guys, I mean, I think maybe you tried to sabotage my crank. That's what I think. It's still not working. Director Kathy, can you show over there what's just right on the side of our set? Are these CO2 canisters?
They got refills?
Take a look over there.
Don't be smoking over
there. I've got supplies. I've got refills going on. Oh, it's a little dark over there, I'm telling you. You can make them out there, though. I will not be foiled, Amin Elhassan. You have not gotten the best of me. You just wait to see what happens at the end of this. And look. There's a train, and I can't even use the crane. Yeah. Cleveland finalizing a trade. Whoa. Andre Drummond, league source, tells ESPN.
So who's going the other way? Tristan Thompson?
We will find out. Wow. What Andre do you Drummond, think of Tristan. Cleveland picking up Andre Drummond?
Well, it's got to be Tristan Thompson going the other way, right?
I don't know what to think about that one. That is surprising.
This is wherever Andre Drummond went, we said the same thing. You better be prepared to pay him because he's going to he has a player option he's probably going to opt out of.
So
we see all the free agents go off the market, right? Dylan Brooks is off the market.
Yep.
Iguodala is off the market. Gallinari may or may not be out the market.
Are you telling me you're going to tie up all your money on Andre Drummond and Kevin Love?
And Kevin Love.
Kevin Love is gone for sure this
year. No. Kevin Love is only gone if someone takes him.
But what?
They have been trying to trade him for a long time. We'll have to find out. This is going to be very interesting. Woj, I'm sure we'll have more details. Jackie's out here trying to make my crank work. Amin, I will get you, and we will figure this out during the break.
Best trade deadline ever.
Ever. This is incredible. Andre Drummond.
We'll stay with us. The trade deadline less than 45 minutes away, and we will solve the mystery of the trade, Craig. You have not gotten the last of me. I may not have. Sports Sports Center, 6 o'clock Eastern after PTI with Sage and Kevin. Whoa, wrapping up the NBA's trade deadline and tracking the NFL's to-do list, including a potential officiating overhaul. All coming up on Sports Center. But guess what? We are less than an hour until the trade deadline, and Amin Elhassan has sabotaged.
You
have tried to bamboozle me just when we have a big trade. Cleveland finalizing a trade for Detroit's Andre Drummond, according to Woj. And Zach Lowe is with us. He is going to break down for us what is happening here, Zach. My trade crank isn't working. Andre Drummond is going to Detroit. Anarchy. It is anarchy at this trade deadline. Can you please clear some of this up for us?
The trade crank not working is the most disappointing part of the day. It's just untenable. This is untenable. Look, Andre Drummond had no trade value at all. The Pistons knew that. They realized it about 3 days ago. They were willing to trade him for second-round picks, and that's all they got. Cleveland was one of the teams that I was watching. Charlotte was the other one. And, you know, we'll see what happens now with his player option in the offseason. He has the same agent as Kevin Love, which is kind of an interesting little plot twist. But, look, Cleveland needs a center. He's only 25 or 26 years old. He's not that far from the timeline of Sexton and Garland. Like, it's not a crazy trade to get him for nothing. I mean, almost literally nothing.
Right. And do you think that they are interested in re-signing him if he opts out of that deal?
I think so. I don't know why. I mean, I guess you trade for him at this price no matter what, but I would assume, yeah, they do have an interest in re-signing him. I haven't checked in quite yet, but I would assume you don't make this trade if you don't have at least some interest in re-signing him.
It is a lot of money, as our panel pointed out in the last segment, to tie up if you can't get rid of that Kevin Love contract. And so far, no one has wanted to take that on, especially since it ties up 2021 money. And then re-signing Andre Drummond, what direction would that put Cleveland in?
Treading water for a while their young players improve and their young guards figure out how to play in the NBA. And they're getting better now. They're getting better at shooting and playmaking and all that. But it's just sort of, you know, could be a value play. It could end up being nothing. Maybe there's a chance they let them walk this summer. But it's sort of like they're going to have a void at center. At this price, it's kind of a why not? He does get numbers. He does rebound. And, you know, maybe this trade will fire him up a little bit.
There you go. I want to ask you about the Miami trade to add Andre Iguodala. Where do you think realistically that puts Miami in the East? Because we've been talking about the wizardry of this deal, right? This team was hard cap with just $12,000 to spare, and they've suddenly made all of these moves, gotten themselves more salary room, gotten Jae Crowder and Andre Iguodala. What do you think that means for Miami in the East?
I think they're a little bit better, but not as improved as they were hoping to be. And they still have, 35 minutes to try and get Danilo Gallinari. That's the move that I think puts them clearly over the top of everyone else in the East except for Milwaukee, who is the favorite. I think the deserving favorite. But you put Gallo on that team, they go toe-to-toe to Milwaukee. Jae Crowder is sort of like a JV Gallo to me. He doesn't shoot the three nearly as well as Gallo. He's 30% this season. That's not so different from his career numbers. He's not as big. He's not as rangy. He's not as good of a playmaker. So I think that seems like a consolation prize to me. But if they could get the real thing, then you're talking about a team that I think goes toe-to-toe with the Bucks.
Great. So Woj and Ramona reporting this morning, Zach, that the Knicks plan to hire agent Leon Rose as their new head of basketball operation. Is going into the agent pool to run basketball ops a smart move for New York? Because Leon Rose has a tremendous amount of respect for me, you, everyone around the basketball community, but he's never done this before.
No, and there's a track record of guys coming from the agent pool and being successful. Now, most of them don't go right into the top job, and most of them don't go right into the top job of an organization that's been completely dysfunctional for a long time now, but he has a lot of connections there. And I think it does reflect, like, they didn't have time to wait around for some of their more preferred candidates, whether it's Masai Ujiri or somebody else. Whoever is going to get that job wants to make this draft pick. This is going to be another high draft pick. It might be the most valuable asset that the Knicks have, and they're going to want to hire the head coach, whoever that ends up being. So there's sort of a timeline expediency thing here. Look, we'll see. We'll see how he does. I mean, Leon is a good basketball mind. He's very well connected. You've already surely rattled off all the current stars that he represents. But, you know, we'll see. Can't get any worse.
Is that the Knicks' new slogan, Zach?
It's in contention.
All right, there we go. Zach Lowe, thank you so much for joining us. We will hear from you on the Twitter for the rest of the day as this trade deadline progresses. We only have a little bit more than a half hour left. They have tried to sabotage me. You, Amin Elhassan, have tried to make my trade crank not work. Man. So I, in turn, have come back to foil you. People think this is a bit. This is not a bit. Earlier in the week, we were trying to think what would happen.
Y'all ain't funny.
Because we were having some problems getting the trade crank in. So, so I decided, hey, just in case, as a backup, I would get this.
It's cold in here,
right?
Too.
So I have a this can go off a little, right, if we get a trade. And then I also
Can go
off if we have a trade.
Oh, no,
so really, even though...
I don't know what's coming out of this.
Amin, you think you have gotten the better of me? You are the one sitting here covered in confetti.
I feel like Poppy Levitard and Mina Kimes need to be here when you're popping that
I'm
thing.
I'm just saying. And by the way, clearly this doesn't work, but my friends on the crew
still know
how to make the smoke work, so we're going to work together. You cannot get me. That's all I am saying. Paul Pierce joining us back again. I want to start. Paul's not happy about this. Blame him. He's the saboteur. Blame him.
Right, you got to understand Pete from Inglewood.
Well, I hear a sound like that. I'm ducking. I'm ducking behind cars.
It's just confetti, my friend. Paul, what do you think the Knicks should do here? We were just talking with Zach Lowe, and his slogan apparently is, it can't get worse. Do you think they should be making a deal with the Clippers, making a deal with the Lakers, and what else do you think going forward should be happening with this franchise?
I mean, the Knicks are always trying to find a speck of light in darkness. And, you know,
or a speck of darkness in a pool of light.
Any news for the Knicks, maybe good news, or they try
to
turn
the Leon Rose hire?
I mean, this is my thing about the Leon Rose hire. Does he provide stability? Can he influence other players? Because the last time I checked, that players don't come in free agency because of a general manager. You know, it's a players' league for a reason. You know, players come because of the influence other players have on other players. And so I don't know how positive this is going to be. We have to check the next 5 years for the Knicks and see where they're at.
I
mean, but like off the top, I mean.
Should they have waited for Masai Ujiri? You just heard Zach say, hey, they wanted someone in place who could not only work and have some authority over what was happening today. Scott Perry, of course, the one working the phones, but to have a say today, and then also the draft pick.
I just don't think there was a rush for it because right now they're going to play out the season,
right,
get back to the lottery, and then, you know, the next thing up for them is the draft. You know, so I don't know if there was a rush to do it, but maybe it could be positive. I'm not sure.
Let me just say, first of all, they wouldn't have to rush to do it if they had made the move 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. You wait till 2 days before the deadline.
I mean, that's what don't make sense
to me. Now because of themselves.
Right. So that's number one. Number two, people.
A lot of people thought Steve Mills should have been gone a long time ago.
My thing is, how are you not confident in him yesterday, but you were confident in him a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever? When did that confidence erode so quickly, right? The other part of this is, you talk about Leon Rose. Should we be excited? Should we not be excited? It's really, I'm always a little skeptical when it's someone coming into a position of power when they've never done the job before. And that doesn't mean Leon Rose doesn't know basketball, doesn't know people, whatever. But Phil Jackson won a million championships. But he came into a role he had never done before and had to learn on the job.
In that team particularly.
And so people point to Pelinka and Bob Myers. Both of those guys came in not as the number one guy. They had time to learn and figure out the lay of the land and then step into their own. I would, to me, if you're going to hire someone like that, it's got to be a bigger term plan than, hey, oh, we have a deadline at 3 o'clock East. 3 o'clock Eastern, can you come do this right now? You
know? The one thing he does know as an agent, he understands the collective bargaining agreement.
That's for sure.
I mean, so that's an advantage in bringing in a former coach or a former player. You know, there's rules and regulations to putting together trades and making these deals, and he has a good understanding of that.
To me, that's why you get, if you're going to hire someone, you got to go sun, moon, and stars from a side. Now, maybe they weren't going to make him available for anything because it's not like Toronto's poor,
right?
MLSE that owns the Raptors, Larry Tannenbaum, they've got a lot of money too.
Sure.
And they're not intimidated by Jim Dolan or the Garden. But the reality is, A, give yourself time to do this thing the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And B, if you're going to bring in someone who hasn't done it before, even when they know the collective bargaining agreement and all that stuff, you just need to give them time to acclimate, because I've been on the other side where I work for an organization where they brought in an agent who had been agent forever and had all these CBA loopholes and stuff, but he didn't know how to run a basketball organization.
Mm.
And all of that stuff was brand new to him. And to make matters worse, the people he brought in with him were also brand new to this whole thing.
You got to run a scouting department. You got to run a video department.
And there's a lot of little things that are just like in most organizations where you got someone who's been in a front office, it's just,
and maybe
it runs like
great.
That.
And maybe he'll be great.
Maybe he'll be great.
But there's will a
learning
challenges.
There's a learning curve.
It can't get no worse.
That's true.
Again, apparently, we have a new slogan for the Knicks, birthed by Zach Lowe and Paul Pierce. There you go. All right. We have another small trade to announce. Mylan on our crew tells me that this might work now despite your best efforts. Come on.
Where you at, Mylan? Mylan, my man. I'm going to holler at you. There you go.
Woj tweeting, Minnesota has joined the Miami-Memphis deal. This is interesting. Whoa. Gonna trade Gorgui Dieng for James Johnson. League sources telling ESPN this helps save salary. Bobby Marks says that puts Minnesota just $1.1 million above the tax. That means that at least I get to put on my little trade siren, right?
You need to put this on top of your car.
Right? That's like Beverly Hills Cop, right? It's like Axl Rose and... There you go. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Kevin Love, his four-year, $120 million contract still in Cleveland, where his relationship with the Cavs goes from here. And again, 25 minutes until the trade deadline. Lakers and Clippers still fighting over Marcus Morris. We will find out how that goes. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Jump Trade Deadline Special. We got Ramona Shelburne with us. We got Brian Windhorst with us. Paul Pierce still with us. What is the latest on the Marcus Morris sweepstakes, Ramona?
Okay, Marcus Morris will be going to the Clippers.
The Clippers.
But this is still a little bit fluid. The Knicks have on the Knicks side, okay, they're going to do this for Mo Harkless for a 2021st, a 2021 second. But there's still something else going on with this. So this is just the side of the Knicks. My understanding is that Mo Harkless is staying there in New York, and they intend to keep him.
The Knicks may be working on some other maneuvers right now. Yep. Also, the Clippers now have opened up three or possibly even four roster spots. So other things are happening. Obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers have just acquired Andre Drummond at center. They now have Tristan Thompson, who they want to move on from. So Tristan Thompson now becomes one of the most actively, trying to move players in the league in this last 20, 25 minutes.
Wow. What do you think, Paul, of the idea of that deal going through?
Well, the good thing is you get a guy who's battle-tested. You get another veteran. And it gives them more size. You know, when they get into the playoffs and they have to match up some of these big guys they have in the West. And some toughness and leadership. You know, that's what I like about. And he's a consistent guy. I mean, I think he really takes a rotation spot away from J. Michael Green, who's been pretty inconsistent for them. So he gives them a stable veteran as you get deeper in the playoffs.
And they keep him away from the Lakers.
And you stay away from the Lakers.
I mean, that's really one of the biggest
things. This is just where we are in this league right now. The Kawhi Leonard situation, this situation, we're going to have buyouts in the next, 7 to 10 days that are going to come down. And then, obviously, we are barreling towards a playoff series between these two teams.
Yeah,
this
sure.
is an L.A. league right now. So much that happens is about L.A. versus L.A.
And, of course, for the Clippers particularly, the Clippers have been the little brother here for so long. And the idea that they pulled off getting Kawhi and now getting Marcus Morris.
Let me just say this. This is what's happening right now is the fact that the Lakers traded so much for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And they don't regret it, okay? It's not a thing. But when they've gone all in, there's just not much left there to do. And because Kyle Kuzma is like the only main asset that they have, if they're not willing to include Kyle Kuzma in a trade, they pretty much can't make it. Now, I'm sure they're looking to try to pick up Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. It was believed that Derrick Rose was not going to be moved by the Pistons. But now that they've moved on from Andre Drummond, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers go back and try one last thing here.
They have 19 minutes to get this done. This is amazing.
When the Lakers did the Anthony Davis trade, they really left the cupboard bare. When the Clippers did the Paul George trade, they didn't leave the cupboard bare. And it's not just,
they
it's
had
not,
more in the cupboard, too.
It's not because they outfoxed the Lakers on this or whatever. It's just they have more, and that's what we're going to see it today, and I think we're going to see it again in the future.
Well, Ramona, I know this is still fluid. I know there might be another piece of this deal, but it's enough for me because I think
just don't aim at me.
There we go.
You need professional help. I just want you to know that.
I understand.
I'm just saying. One more trade to announce. It's going to be a light free agency. This is all I have, people. Woj reporting Washington trading Jordan McRae to Denver for Shabazz Napier, who was traded from Minnesota to the Nuggets in the Capella-Covington deal. This poor man does not know where to hang his hat. We will stay with you guys because, man, again, 18 15 minutes away. The clock is ticking. Marcus Morris to the Clippers. But again, you see Ramona and Brian on their phones. They say this is a fluid situation. There might be more coming. The Lakers now, if they lost out on Marcus Morris, looking to make a deal. They've got 17 minutes and 45 seconds to get it done. This is our distant replay. We're going to show you on the way out. It's this date in 2001. Take a look. Jason Kidd. Watch this trickery.
Oh, goodness. What a fun to watch, isn't it? But Jason Kidd, you won't see a...
How's that not? It's not a travel, but it looks like...
I don't see the imagination in a game like this.
Not a travel. That's awesome.
This Saturday on ABC, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers visit the Warriors. The Jump is your pregame show on ABC. Yeah. We'll be there at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific. Who knows who will be on these teams by the time we play? You can catch Andrew Wiggins on the Warriors, LeBron James and the Lakers on the ESPN app as well. All right, guys. Look, with time ticking away to the trade deadline, Kevin Love still in a Cavaliers uniform. After this season, the 31-year-old still has 3 years, $91 million left on his contract. Brian, what is next for Kevin Love and the Cavs?
More trade talks over the summer. you know, he really wanted to get me. It was funny. He and Andre Drummond really both kind of wanted to get traded.
Well, one of them did.
Now they're on the same team. it's very difficult to move Kevin Love, especially the Cavs are looking for multiple picks coming back. And, you know, this is the same sort of situation with Andrew Wiggins. Teams felt like you had to give Andrew Wiggins and draft picks. Cavs feel like they should be getting draft picks. The other teams say you should give us Kevin Love
right.
with draft picks. They haven't been overcome that. Well, there's still 15 minutes left.
Look at that. Look at Kate in our graphics department. The cost of love. That, Kate Howard, that is excellent there. All right. I want to bring you guys back to really, let's be honest, the most critical situation of this trade deadline. Amin broke my trade crank. Evelyn is over there working on it. Just to make sure, by the time we have something, she is going to make sure that this is done. You mark my words, by the end of this show, this trade crank will be working again. And look,
no,
I want to get back. I want to get back to the Timberwolves because that was our biggest trade of the day so far. Although we have had Marcus Morris in a developing situation going to the Clippers. We'll see if that turns out to be more. But it's been an interesting month for Karl Anthony Towns. They're on a 13-game losing streak. Around the time that the Robert Covington-Clint Capella trade was announced, Karl Anthony Towns posting on his IG some faces. They were not happy faces, guys. These are not happy faces in reaction to this trade. And he spoke after that game about how close he and Rocco were and the fact that he's just seen guy after guy dealt from this team that he felt like was a part of winning. He said, it's been losing for a long time. I'm trying not to do that blank anymore. Every possession means a lot. You obviously see my patience running low with a lot of things. There's no excuses. We got to get it done. And then, of course, our Kendrick Perkins. Good night, Timberwolves, because that is a reference, of course, to Karl Anthony Towns saying at the beginning of the season, don't sleep on us. But guess what, Perk? While you were sleeping, good, like that's okay. the Wolves were working on a deal to get D'Angelo Russell, and now he is going to Minnesota for Andrew Wiggins. Do you think that Karl Anthony Towns is going to at least get some pep from this and feel like, hey, we're really doing something? And this is important. He is signed to this team. He signed a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
And him being unhappy, let's not forget, there was a player in Minnesota who was really unhappy, who was under contract and agitated his way out of Minnesota for a trade and practically blew up the franchise to get it done.
Well,
so the Timberwolves
also
don't need a repeat of that.
Also,
is not Tyus Jones. Thank you.
Also, the Knicks just hired his agent, which is another interesting little sidelight here. I've had people being on the phone with me, arguing with me about this trade since it went down from the league. I had an executive tell me that I'm going to end up apologizing to Bob Myers for saying that I didn't like the trade assets that were sent to Golden State in this deal. But ultimately, let's forget about the draft assets for a moment. The Timberwolves were at rock bottom. Rock bottom. Losing last night to Atlanta. Playing some of the worst defense the league has ever seen. Carl getting angry or angry?
Matt Barnes, the worst defense the league has
some
ever
of
seen.
The worst. Hey, some of the worst.
He's not lying, though.
That's saying a lot.
So the fact they were able to get a guy who not only should increase their talent level, they're able to break the situation with Wiggins, which has been like a cloud hanging over, it should move them forward. And frankly, the fact that they didn't have to give multiple firsts and that they didn't have to give this year's first, and I know we could talk about how bad the 2020 draft class is from now until sundown. If you have two picks in the top five, which potentially they were looking at, it's going to help you. But okay, they didn't. I already broke my promise about not talking about the trade. I think it was a good deal. But we'll point something out about D'Angelo Russell. This is his fifth season.
Yes.
This is his fourth team.
Yes.
Okay, now I know the Nets moved on from him because they got...
But
nonetheless, I just want to point that out. Let's not just, before you throw the parade, let's just also realize that.
I mean, I want to know is, I mean, Cat is a tremendous talent.
Yes.
Tremendous talent. There's no doubting that. But does he have what it takes here and what it takes here to be a number one option to get your team to the playoffs? I've seen a lot of tweeting and memes and all this, but you got your boy now. So it's time to put up or shut up because, like I said, Minnesota's been trash since KG left. Let's just be honest with every situation.
Damn.
They thought that Karl Anthony Towns was going to be that next guy to fill those shoes. He's yet to do that by any means. Like I said, his talent is unmeasured. One of the most talented big guys in the game. But does he have the heart and the mindset to be a dog and go out there and will this team to get off this losing streak?
And by the way, that's not just on the offensive end. That's on the defensive end.
A complete game.
You've got a complete game. He's got to be more focused on that side. And D'Angelo Russell is his best friend, but he's not going to help defensively.
All right. Look, I got to say, you tried to foil me when we did the Andre Drummond trade to Cleveland. This wasn't working. I had the backup confetti. I had the backup sirens because that's kind of prepared I am. But now... Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you, Mylan. Thank you, everyone in the studio who got me set back up. The trade crank is going again. We are ready. There's 7 minutes and 15 seconds left of the trade deadline, so stick with us. Coming up, the clock's almost out. We will discuss what has changed in the landscape of the NBA and any last-minute deals. We're ready. All right, guys, the 2020 trade deadline is nearing. We are less than 3 minutes away, and here's the biggest news of the day. The Warriors trading D'Angelo Russell to the Wolves for Andrew Wiggins. 2 picks. Grizzlies trading Andre Iguodala, Solomon Hill, Jay Crowder to the Heat for Justice Winslow, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, although James Johnson rerouted. And then the Knicks trading Marcus Morris to the Clippers. And we got some more news on that because Ramona told you it was still developing, and she was right. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting the Clippers, Knicks, and Wizards have agreed to a 3-team deal that will land Marcus Morris and Isaiah Thomas with the Clippers. League sources tell ESPN, Jerome Robinson will join the Wizards, Mo Harkless, and a 2020 first-round pick to the Knicks. Well, if that is not worthy of the trade crank, I don't know what is, because we are back in business, baby. Ramona, this is huge. Yeah. Isaiah Thomas back in L.A.,
but not how we expected. You know, it was funny, coming into, like, maybe yesterday, I would have said
Brian, by the way, he's not even getting off his phone.
He's not even.
We got a minute and 45 seconds, and he's like, something could still happen.
You know what Brian was like right there? He's like the Matt Barnes play with the ball right in his face.
Right there. Yeah. Boom.
He didn't even chase.
It's been going on for years.
Honestly, coming into yesterday, I thought the Los Angeles Dodgers won the NBA trade deadline. I thought Mookie Betts was going to be the biggest name that we saw move. Woo!
It has been bananas today, Paul. Absolutely. What do you think of this deal that not only lands Marcus Morris, but Isaiah Thomas now is a Clipper?
Yeah, I mean, they got just more veterans in the locker room, which is good for a long playoff run. And I think for the rest of the season, it allows them to kind of rest some of their other veterans. Mm-hmm. You know, their whole thing is they want to get to the playoffs healthy. Yeah. That's all that's on their mind. They don't care if they get the number one seed, home court advantage. They just want to get to the postseason healthy.
There's something else in play.
All right,
the reason they did this deal also was to get out of the luxury tax. So this trade for Marcus Morris pushed him into the luxury tax. Swapping Jerome Robinson to make a little bit more money for Isaiah Thomas get some a veteran player. You're right, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Get some out of luxury tax, which Steve Ballmer's been trying to save money, but they know that they're going to have to pay the tax in the future.
Billionaires, so they're just like us.
The other thing I'll point out is Darren Collison is a guy who's been on the boards for both the Clippers and the Lakers, potentially coming out of his brief retirement. With this trade, even though the Clippers have roster spots, I think it makes it more likely that Darren Collison will not be a Clipper. And if the Lakers decide to go that route, that the Lakers don't have a roster spot right now, they'd have to do something. I think it's more likely that Darren Collison would end up as a Laker.
So, all right, guys. So we are just 11 seconds to the deadline.
Six, you are definitely five, again, huh?
Four.
Three, two, one.
Oh, yeah. There we go. It's New Year's.
Hey, I just want you to know. I can never get used to that.
Just get right up next to his ear.
But just so you know, like, I know. But the trades, there'll still possibly be more trades coming in.
Yes.
So save some of your confetti.
That's
Don't
right.
worry, because I still have it. And there you go.
Matt's getting in my water now.
There you go. I really have to say, this has turned into a pretty crazy trade deadline. And I do think it's a little bit about the fact that we don't expect as much movement this summer as with, you know, a lot of summers that we had. Certainly, it's not going to be like the summer of 2020, of this past summer.
Yeah, but I think if we look at the actual deal, I'm going to be serious here with the confetti all over me. If we look at the actual deals that have happened with the contenders, the Miami Heat and the Clippers, in terms of contenders' moves, move forward at the deadline. Going forward, I think you see the Minnesota Timberwolves have made a big move forward. I'm not really sure what the Cleveland Cavaliers have done. They made a big move today, but I'm not sure.
I thought Zach Lowe's point about the Cavs was a good one. At that price, why aren't you making that deal, right? Good for them.
With Cleveland, like, you have a chance to add a 26-year-old All-Star to a, you know, and you have three months to
a young team. Maybe you can do something with them, figure out.
Right.
The other thing that's just, I think is really going to develop here in the next couple of days is, unless there's a last-minute deal that Woj is going to tell us about, and you can use that again, Tristan Thompson was not traded.
That's right.
There was, like, six centers traded over this last 3 days. Mm-hmm. Tristan Thompson was not one of them. There has been a belief in the league, and frankly, his agent has been clear, Rich Paul's been clear, that Tristan is not interested in taking a buyout. Because if you take a buyout, even if he doesn't plan on being with the Cavs, you lose your bird rights and you can't be executed in a sign and trade. But considering where they are now, where Andre Drummond is going to be their starting center, he has to play a lot of minutes going down the stretch. Tristan's not going to play, not going to be able to improve his value. I think the chances of a Tristan Thompson buyout have increased dramatically. That means if you're a fan of the Boston Celtics, your ears perk way up right now.
Yep.
The Boston Celtics would be major in the market.
He would be such a good fit there, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And the Clippers, who still have, believe it or not, the Clippers could still use a center.
Yeah.
And I think if he becomes available, although the Clippers are looking for more shooting at that position, he could come there. But if you're a Boston Celtics fan right now, even though your team didn't do anything, you are really keeping a very close eye on Tristan Thompson, because if Tristan Thompson goes to the Celtics, that could be the type of move that changes the balance of the power in the Eastern Conference.
Well, first of all, to finish up on the Cavs, I would say this, that they have had a hard time getting the rest of the league to think that Kevin Love is worth what they think Kevin Love is. And they have been they haven't been able to make a deal because of that. Well, if you got Andre Drummond, not for free, but for a very small price, maybe you let Kevin Love go for a lower price than you thought you were going to.
Maybe,
and get some
I don't
of that
think that's what
relief.
It's about. And I think it's about this. Andre Drummond has a $28 million player option, which he may or may not pick up. I would advise him to pick it up. The Cavs are looking at it like they had about $28 million in cap room. They don't think they could use that $28 million on a player better than Andre Drummond. So in a way, this was a free agent move. Whether or not he picks up the option, we'll see.
All right, so let's move on from Andre Drummond. I want to get to Paul. Can you go directly into your camera here and make a pitch to Tristan Thompson to take the buyout
Tristan,
so the Celtics can pick him up?
You are the one player that can put the Boston Celtics over the top. Taking a couple extra less millions is worth it, buddy.
You don't mean that. No. The answer is you don't take any less money, Tristan. You make the Cavs buy you out because that they've just traded for your replacement.
Right, but
and then you go sign and get more money.
But look, Tristan could be part of another run in the Eastern Conference.
Charlie, that'll put him over the top. Just what they need: a physical presence, a veteran leader, a champion.
So let's take a look at each conference and where we are here, right? So if we start in the East, to your point, the Boston Celtics didn't do anything yet. So they kind of stayed in place. You think the Heat improved? Do you think the Heat made enough of a move that they leapfrogged the Celtics or the Raptors in terms of being a contender after the Bucks?
Well, I'm not sure they just leapfrogged them, but, you know, they're a little bit better. I mean, like I said, I still think after the Milwaukee Bucks, everybody else is in the same category from two all the way down from Celtics, Toronto, Indiana, Philadelphia. They're all in the same boat. I think any of those teams can lose in the first round.
Put those standings back up there. I think in the Eastern Conference, getting to the number two seed is vital because look at where the 76ers are. 76ers, let's say they finish four or five. Mm-hmm. If you get the two seed.
Then in the second round, you're playing the Milwaukee Bucks.
If you get the two seed, you don't have to
play. If they finish four or five.
That's right. I mean, we assume that the 76ers, they're basically tied for fifth there.
Yes.
I'm betting on the 76ers to outplay the Pacers down the stretch. I think they'll finish four or five. The difference between being the two seed, the three seed, and the four seed in the East is huge to me.
Huge.
Because it means that you might not, especially if you're a team like the Celtics, who has 1-3 against the Sixers this year. So the Celtics are highly motivated. The Heat are highly motivated to get into that 2-3 zone. And I think that's why it's really important what the Heat did, because getting to 2-seed or the 3-seed for the Heat is really, really meaningful for them going forward.
Well, you know, what's interesting with the Heat is that Pat Riley loves to think about his team as this collection of diamonds in the rough that he found, and they developed and they created this great culture around them. But I think in the last couple of weeks, they've had two games against the Clippers where you played against the best in the West. You lost both of them. And in basically the same way. They just did not have enough talent.
Right. And Jimmy Butler didn't play the fourth quarter last
correct.
Night.
Correct.
But yes.
But like we were at that game and you could just tell that they're not there.
Yeah.
And I think they knew it. And how do you add to the team without changing the culture that you've built around these young guys that you have found and developed?
All right. Well, don't forget about the defending champions, though, Paul. The Raptors have won 12 in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pascal Siakam, the leaps he has continued to make. I feel like he can't keep leaping, but he keeps leaping. He looks great in scarves. Apparently, the whole team does.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they in this?
Man, they're scary. I mean, because when you're the defending champs, you carry a certain swagger and confidence. Even though they lost their best player, Kawhi, I feel like Siakam is thriving in that role as the best player. He's become an all-star this year. He's doing everything this team needs of him. And, you know, you still got Lowry. You still got a lot of veteran guys over there who understand how to win. And so, like I said, outside of Milwaukee Bucks, everybody else is, like, right there. And anything – one injury –
well, that could change.
That can change the dynamics of everything in the playoffs.
You know what, Paul? I was in the Heat locker room last night. Maybe this is foolhardy.
Yeah.
Maybe they were just excited because they just made this big trade. They do not fear the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, maybe Giannis will laugh at them and pound them into the submission, but they do not fear the Milwaukee Bucks. The Miami Heat feel like they're going to win the Eastern Conference.
Well, look, they just played Philadelphia and beat them by about 30 points. Mm-hmm. And I heard from several guys in that locker room, oh, I guess Philly just doesn't want this. So maybe we'll be taking this instead as that rival to Milwaukee. And remember, in the Eastern Conference, what happened on this day, trade deadline day, is what led to the championship of the NBA. There was that arms race, right, between Philadelphia making a deal and Milwaukee making a deal and Toronto making a deal. Well, it was Toronto's deal for Marc Gasol that ended up helping them win the day. So I want to look at the Western Conference now because we have teams in the West, Ramona. Yep. Take a look at the standings here. Do you think any of these teams made a deal today that is going to lead them to the NBA title?
The Clippers have to feel like they did. Right? I mean, I think they have to feel like adding Marcus Morris to that mix.
Keeping him away from the Lakers
was a big move for them because of the toughness he adds in the post, especially in the way that they match up with Anthony Davis and they match up with LeBron James. Like, he's a tough, physical guy to get in there and disrupt and make those two players uncomfortable. I think it's not just about how he fits with their team. It's about how they specifically match up with the Lakers. In their first few meetings, like, Ivica Zubac has done he's a nice young player, but he's not Marcus Morris, especially in that role.
Yep.
Well, I think, obviously, the Clippers made the biggest move, just like they did in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little move, though, by the Nuggets, picking up Jordan McRae.
Mm-hmm.
Seems under the radar. Jordan McRae is a big-time scorer. He's the type of guy who can have five good minutes off the bench in a playoff game and win you the game. But obviously we're paying attention to the Lakers and Clippers.
The thing with the Lakers, though, is that they were very focused on not disrupting their culture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not disrupting this brotherhood that they've built, not just over the course of the season, but especially so in this last week.
It's one of the best locker rooms in the NBA.
I don't know what there's you do.
In terms of the way the guys relate to each other, you can tell at the minute you walk in there.
What Ramona is describing is important. And I don't know what I would have done if I was Rob Pelinka because I still feel like the Lakers are a player short. I just still feel, and I don't know what.
But there are still players out there.
I don't think. I think the best move the Lakers did was not making a move. Honestly, like when every year the key ingredients to a championship team is that top five MVP caliber player, and the Lakers got two of them. That makes up for the lack of depth that you have.
Let me ask you this:
like, who else can say they have two MVP caliber or in the running for MVP?
Let me ask you this:
only the Lakers.
Game five, 2-2. Okay. How many guys do you have on the Lakers roster that you trust in that situation? How many guys?
I got two MVP caliber players.
I'm telling you.
We know that superstars win in this league.
I'm telling you, the Clippers added one today who I feel comfortable
having. Not a superstar now.
Wait, you think Marcus Morris is an MVP caliber player?
That's not what I said. He's having a different conversation. I'm saying it's a 2-2 series. It's a 2-2 series, game five. How many players on your roster can you look at and say, I believe in you in this game?
Right.
The Lakers do not have that many. The Clippers have them, and they added another one today. That's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about...
Well, and we're talking a lot about locker room culture. The Clippers' locker room culture last season was incredible.
Right. Yeah.
This season, not so much.
Well, I they're just not there yet.
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to say that they're bad or good. I'm just saying that they obviously aren't there yet because guys have gone in and out of the lineup the whole time.
That's right.
So they are still in the process of gelling. So if you threw one more ingredient into the stew while the stew is still being made, that feels much more okay than taking an ingredient out of an already finished stew.
And the annoyance that they may have with special... privileges for Kawhi Leonard will go away when he leads them to playoff.
Look, we are going to talk more because the Lakers might not be done yet. We will talk about that. We're not done yet, so stay with us. We've got maybe some last-minute deals trickling in. There are always those after the deadline. And, of course, we will break down everything that has happened today. We'll also hear how LeBron James feels about missing out on Andre Iguodala. Stay tuned for that. First, though, a distant replay from a legendary trade deadline deal in 2011 involving a player who knows the soon-to-be new Knicks president very well. Take a look.
The show has been missing something in recent months, and that something is Stuart Scott. Welcome back, brother.
Thanks, brother.
The lead
Appreciate
is yours.
It. The lead is mine. Well, the lead was mine. Now it's Carmelo Anthony's. Finally, traded to the New York Knicks late Monday night. After weeks of Knicks, Nets, Nuggets speculation, and all New York had to give up to get him, basically half their team, their ball boy, their trainer, and Spike Lee. I'm kidding. But only barely. Ball boy, trainer, and Spike can stay in Gotham. A lot of players, though, headed west. As for Carmelo, the guy who's led Denver in scoring in 7 of his 8 seasons there, including this one, ends up where most people thought, but not without a lot of drama. He will team with Amari Stoudemire, but most of Amari's supporting cast so far this season going to Denver. Here's the trade. It is a 3-team, 12-player deal.
And you guys saw the top of the show.
Use it responsibly.
When a trade happens.
Use it responsibly.
We have our trade deck. Hey, Brian, you know what Kendrick has never heard? We just had another trade reported, which means I get to do this! Matt Barnes,
I'm too old for that.
Welcome.
Hey, at least I was ready for you. Almost made me pee off camera because I wasn't ready for the last.
You know how you know when there's a trade? That's how. Oh,
oh
my God!
Oh, yes! Team broken.
The trade crank not working is the most disappointing part of the day. It's just untenable.
Touch my crank. That's what I think. Still not working. I will not be foiled, Amin El Hassan. You have not gotten the best of me. To think what would happen. This can go off a little, right, if we get a trade. And then I also think
oh,
this
no.
can go off if we have a trade.
I told you to
step away from the desk.
I'm prepared. I'm just saying
counseling.
That I don't. Right?
Counseling. She
right?
needs some-
if something goes wrong. You need to always have a backup plan. I always have a backup plan.
You know what? You're getting
Remember
my
this.
Bill for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Remember this, I'm just saying.
The cure was worse than the disease. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm just saying. The trade deadline has brought us so many good deals today. It has brought us some confetti. And Zach Lowe, welcome back. I'm happy to report we have the trade crank running again. You can breathe easy, Zach.
Yes. It's not the same without the trade. Bunch of cowards over there, by the way, scared of the trade crank.
Oh yeah, you come into the studio, Zach. You're satellite. Big talker.
I'll come
satellite.
Next year. I'll be like Matt Barnes. I'll be like Matt Barnes. You can't make me flinch with that thing.
All right, Zach. Well, we'll see. Maybe we will arrange for a little surprise for you over there. Just wait.
Please do.
Just
please
wait. Do. All right. I want to play for you, Zach, what LeBron James said about Andre Iguodala today. Take a listen, and then we will discuss.
How do I handle that news? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I saw it and was like, okay. I think it makes him a better team because of his championship DNA. You add that to that championship culture down there. So it helps him, right away.
All right, so Zach, LeBron just saying, hey, nothing we can do. We're moving on. So how do the Lakers move on here?
I think you'll see the buyout market become the Lakers market, whether it's Darren Collison or I think Marvin Williams is going to be a hot name that's going to come up. I mean, that's really all that's left for them. They come out of this with a full roster. They wouldn't move Kyle Kuzma for Marcus Morris. And honestly, you can't really blame them. Kuzma's really the only young asset they have left in the tank, and they want to keep him. They need something for when LeBron gets old. So they'll be the kings of the buyout market, I think.
Okay, well, of those two names, and Marvin Williams, a name that some casual fans might not know, but actually very valuable. Can you explain why?
I mean, he's declined a little bit the last couple of years, but he's a power forward who can shoot threes and guard a lot of different positions. He competes like all hell. He's a beloved locker room guy, won't shy away from a big moment in the playoffs. He can help teams. I think he's maybe become a little overrated, but he's a good player.
Zach, what was the biggest surprise move today? I mean, was it Drummond or was it D'Angelo Russell? Because both of those deals at the start of the day, we didn't think were happening.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Russell Wiggins just because a deal that big with that many complicated pick protections and all that, it had the feel of something that they would talk about and back away and then the deadline would pass. The Drummond one, the return was shocking if you weren't paying attention, but Detroit had long ago, as of a week ago, resolved, we may just have to trade him for second round picks. So I'll go Golden State, Minnesota as the surprise winner.
Zach, I want to ask you about the Sixers. You've done a lot of reporting with them this year. Did the moves they make, were it enough? Do you expect them to go in at the buyout market? And what about the team chemistry in that locker room?
They'll keep looking. I think the chemistry, when people say chemistry, I think the chemistry, like everyone gets along fine. But, I mean, like Joel Embiid's comments this week about, well, I'm on the perimeter a lot. I'm spacing the floor. He's been saying that stuff for a year. And at some point, if the offense just doesn't work well enough, then I think there just becomes a little bit of fraying. But look, they bet big on defense. They bet big on their top five or six players, and they're just going to see what this team has. I mean, they play Milwaukee tonight. They built their team to face Milwaukee. Let's see how they play tonight. Maybe they'll get motivated and play a little better, but they're just not, they just need to be better. They're not good enough right now. And I think the Golden State guys they got will help them. I think Burks will help them especially.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, they won't have those guys with them tonight. It's going to take a little bit while for all this to come through. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. Just be afraid as you walk
back to your car.
No fear.
As you go anywhere
no
else.
Fear.
There just might be some confetti, something like that. I'm just saying, you don't know. I'll just see. I don't know. All right. So, again, the buyout market, Zach just said it. It's going to be the Lakers market. That is the team we are going to be talking about. So, do you think Darren Collison, and he is the name that we've heard a lot and just mentioned Marvin Williams as well, but let's stick with Darren Collison for a minute. Can he actually help this team after not playing basketball, not being motivated to play basketball at one point, and then coming back? And maybe the answer is yes.
Well, if the Lakers had signed Darren Collison last summer, I would have been very excited because I think he was a $10, $12 million player. He had a great season last year shooting the ball, and when you have LeBron James on your team, you need to shoot. But I mean, Paul, guys at that age skip 9 months. It's just a real question.
To come off that type of hiatus. I mean, it's just like when I sat out for a good 4 weeks, getting back into the groove, it was tough.
Right.
Let alone this guy sitting out 8 or 9 months. So I don't know how much he'll really help them. I mean, because at the end of the day, LeBron is going to have the ball in his hands toward the end of games and big playoff moments. I mean, well, are you going to have Darren Collison in the game at that point? I'm not so sure. Are you saving him to help prevent injuries for the rest of the season to give some guys a break? You know, so I'm not so sure if he really moves the needle. I mean, they have a championship point guard there already in Rondo.
Yeah, but Rondo struggled this year, Paul. You know.
Yeah,
that.
But we all know what's Rondo's nickname. Playoff Rondo.
Yeah, but at some point, I don't know how much working out Darren Collison has done. I mean, we've been hearing about him coming back for a while. I'm going to assume he's been in the gym the last 2 or 3 months. if he can get even too close to what he was with Indiana yesterday, I think it's a great pickup for them because it is all about depth. And maybe it's not going to be in the playoffs per se, but you don't know if he gets in there and there's chemistry and he plays well. One of those other guys might be out of the rotation. I think it should be their priority.
The thing about it is, if you're the Lakers, you should be, at least. You should be thinking every single day about the Clippers. And when you play the Clippers...
Man, have the tables have turned in this town.
When you play the Clippers in a playoff game, you're going to have to assume that you're going to get 42 minutes or so from Kawhi Leonard and 42 minutes or so from Paul George. That's 84 minutes of two perimeter beast players you have to guard. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the Lakers have the defense to do it. I just don't think that they do. Now,
we started the season.
If LeBron was here, he would probably tell me to shut up and sit down. And I'm not saying he would be wrong, but that is where and Darren Collison does not help that. Darren Collison does not help that.
Jackie, make money because you're already sitting down.
He would push me even farther down.
And look, and they could answer those questions, absolutely. But to pretend it's not a question is a little bit silly. And this is where, by the way, I expect to see LeBron the recruiter again. There was a narrative for a couple years in this league like, man, people don't want to play with LeBron, right? We saw Paul George not come to the Lakers when LeBron was there. We saw Kyrie leave the Cavaliers when LeBron was there, which, I mean, we're used to it now because it just happened and it's been years. But that was so unheard of, the idea that someone would walk away from a team that had been in the finals, the Batman-Robin combo, walk away from the greatest player of his generation and say, yeah, I'm not interested anymore. And LeBron said, just wait. Just wait till I get to a market and get in a groove with this team. You will see how I will recruit. And there is no question he recruited Anthony Davis from start to finish, made Anthony Davis want to come there, and then made Anthony Davis so comfortable. So that narrative has been flipped, and I am very interested to see LeBron James now the recruiter in this buyout market, because whether he helps them a little bit or he helps them a lot, Darren Collison or Marvin Williams or whoever they get, it's going to be a help. And so you want to get someone, and there will be other teams going for it. And again, in the buyout market last year, we saw the Lakers trying to be a player. And guys didn't want to come there. Yeah. I think they are going to want to come there.
It's a very good point. That's
now.
A fair point.
Very different.
So.
And it's also the Lakers, too. It is LeBron, but it's also the Lakers.
Absolutely. All right. I do want to get back to the Sixers. We talked about it for a minute with Zach Lowe. Sixers agreeing to send 3 second-round picks to the Warriors in a package for Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson III last night. Now, yesterday, we learned Al Horford thinks there's maybe a problem in the locker room, but he's not talking about it. We also learned that Joel Embiid saying there's a spacing issue on the court. There have been reports out of Philadelphia about maybe team meetings happening there, them trying to kind of get themselves together. Jackie, what do you think happens next for Philly?
Well, if I were in charge of the Philadelphia 76ers...
I'm waiting for this.
I would sit Joel down, and I would sit Ben Simmons down, and I would look at them both and say, I don't want to get rid of either one of you. The trade deadline has passed. We believe in both of you. You both have to give a little here. We've got to find a way to make this work. And then I would say to Joel, if you're hurt, if you're feeling beat up, let's sit you down for a bit. Let's get you healthy. Let's get you feeling better, because I do think he's struggling with a whole bunch of knick-knack things. And stop worrying about what everybody else is saying. Let's close ranks, which I think the best teams always do. Get rid of the outside noise. Stop listening to it. The two of you, it's on the two of you. Figure it out. Now, the coaching staff has a lot to do with that, but these are two very proud, very talented players. They've got to figure out a way to play together, and I would even suggest that maybe the clock is ticking on that.
Paul?
Well, one thing I've learned about teams who are championship contenders or have championship on their mind, they don't let the media creep into the locker room.
Right.
You know, whatever problems that you have, you discuss it with one another, or you go to the coach, or you go to the general manager, but it has to be done internally. So when there's comments made by Al Horford or Joel Embiid, that's just like, you're like making a small situation so much bigger, because now for the rest of the season, this, when you're not doing well, this is all that's going to be talked about.
Right.
And we know how the media, can just really influence a locker room. I mean, I've seen it time and time again. I mean, don't let that outside influence interfere with what their goal was at the beginning of the year, and that's winning the championship. But at this point, I feel like it's too late. It's crept in, and now it's like a virus. You're just like, It's going to affect everyone.
How does it help if you have, like, a leader? Like, who in your mind on that roster?
Jackie. So everyone who's sitting here and saying, like, man, I don't know how Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are going to function together. Guess what? We saw them function together. We saw them win a whole boatload of games. Guess who else was there?
Jimmy Butler. Yeah, but that,
and by
that
the
ship
way,
has sailed.
He was there being a glue person, telling it like it is, which bothered a lot of people, right? And look, Jimmy Butler comes with his own issues. He does not bring candy canes and lollipops. It is not a perfect situation, but it was the situation that helped the Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid pairing, which we know is not an X and O great pairing. They decided to say, hey, we're going to give all that money to Tobias Harris, and that's not Tobias Harris's fault, but they're missing that ingredient, and they've got to figure out a different way to create it.
But I'm not 100% sure that Jimmy Butler wanted to stay there.
I'm not sure he did either, but point is...
But that's a big difference. So if you say, Jimmy, we're prepared to give you the
max. That goes back to Kristaps Porzingis and the Knicks. If a guy doesn't want to stay there, is that all on the guy not wanting to stay there? Or did you not create a situation where he wanted to stay
there? But if in fact it was his choice.
All of that, beyond everything you guys just said, they are 22-2 at home. Mm-hmm. They have consistently had the top teams come in there and pounded them at home.
Those fans, that is such a fun environment.
It is within them to do it. They can do it. Whether or not they can ever take it on the road is a question. But if you're looking for the sixth seed, you better be able to take it on the road.
I really think they got fixable issues. For one, if I were the coach, I would have looked at Trey Al Horford. Because they say when Joel Embiid was out, they played faster. I truly believe that Tobias Harris at the four.
Nobody wants that contract.
No, but I truly believe Tobias Harris at the four is their best lineup. Because I do believe that Simmons and Joel Embiid can work well together. We've seen it. They have an outside-inside combination. I just think they need to play faster. And with a smaller lineup, they need to go Tobias Harris at the four. And I believe if they did that more, they'd be a better role
team. Here's the thing about Al. How did he really thrive with the Celtics? Pick and pop.
Right.
Yeah, How often are they using pick and pop with Al? So that goes back to, are you going to put Al in the best possible position to seed? I'm not sure they have.
Look, again, X and O's wise, you would not now start a team and say, I'm putting Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid together. No one would do that. But to pretend that it's just not fixable, it's not workable,
that's crazy.
Just not acknowledging what we have already seen. We've seen it work. And yes, Jimmy Butler was a key ingredient that ship has sailed, as you said, Jackie. He's gone. But that doesn't mean there can't be another ingredient that comes back in. Maybe it's coaching for Brett Brown. Maybe it's someone else taking a key in the locker room. Something has to happen because that team is promising and they're not getting it done to the level they want to right now. We're going to take a very quick break, but coming up, we will break down the ramifications of the biggest trade of the day, D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins. You are watching The Jump. Welcome back to The Jump Trade Deadline Special presented by Kia. Matt Barnes, I said when you came on the show earlier, you always bring us some breaking news. Matt Barnes has some more news. He said earlier in the show, hey, I'm just going to text Darren Collison to see what he's thinking. What did he answer you?
Yeah, I text Darren. He responded to me right now. It's 50-50. There's nothing definitely saying
about coming back.
Yeah, about coming back. He wants to talk with his family more. He wants to talk with his agent. But, he said right now it's 50-50. But he's someone, like I said, a consummate pro. So I heard Paul say he's been out for a while, but DC is one of those guys that keeps his body in shape. Very understanding of what his role would be in this league. Like you guys mentioned, left almost, 30-plus million?
I heard $36 million on the table.
$36 million on the table, you know what I mean? So he's someone that teams can definitely know they help.
He's not doing this cavalierly. If he comes back, it's because he means it.
Yeah,
he's not just coming back for the money because he's left money on the table. Right. 50-50, that is really interesting because I think the assumption has been like, they can go out and get Darren Collison, but Darren has still got to figure this out if it's something that he wants. Mm-hmm. And then also, Ramona, with the Clippers trade, we saw Isaiah Thomas thrown in there. Brian pointed out, hey, that's partly a money thing. Isaiah Thomas should not re-rent that apartment in L.A.
My understanding is he's not going to end up staying in Los Angeles. So then now that spot for Collison.
Yeah, possibly.
With the Clippers. Possibly. Still opens there.
Clippers have a number of spots. They could go a number of ways. But yes, if Isaiah is not going to be there, then they still have a spot for a guard for sure.
So this Clippers-Lakers arms race that we thought maybe ended at 3 p.m. Eastern today, possibly still going on. Although, again, Darren Collison would have to decide to come back for him to be a part of that again. Marvin Williams also.
Are we keeping score on the arms? Because, on the court, it's 2-0 Clippers, right?
In terms of head-to-head.
Head-to-head.
Yep.
And in the offseason and now at the trade deadline, I think it's 4-0 now, isn't it?
Kawhi counts for more than one.
That's right.
I think it's you rack it up. But it doesn't matter until the actual
playoffs.
That's right.
That's
right.
Guess what counts?
They don't care to carry
whoever
it over.
They give that title to, there you go. Whoever comes out of the West, that is going to be the scoreboard that counts. I want to get back to the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade. What happens now? Look at that. That's beautiful. Again, Kay
Howard
hooking us up. Those are so, so not my hands. Matt Barnes, your old team, picking up Andrew Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell, going to the Timberwolves. What do you think happens now for the Warriors? Because they needed someone in that spot. And look, it would be great if all of the best players were lined up available for them to pick from. You might not pick Andrew Wiggins, but that just wasn't the case. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins was who was available.
I think this was more of a strategic play. You know, like to get under the luxury tax, as Ramona just mentioned, where they have nine guys under contract
right now. They have nine players under contract. Like, I think you can field a team, but... They need to start signing.
The Denver Nuggets won with seven last night.
That's right.
There you go.
So I just think, like I said, I think they're lining up.
Matt, you want to suit back up? Because there's a roster spot.
Looks like you can play.
I'll be 40 next month. I'm too old. But I just think they understand what this season is. Everyone understands what this season is. They're playing for next year and beyond. Because to me, if you can still package, whether it's Wiggins, a lottery pick possibly, you get Clay and Steph back healthy next season, and you're right back in the Western Conference contention. So
when the Warriors close their eyes and they see Andrew Wiggins, okay, and just go with me on this, okay, go back to the start of this in 2015, they had Harrison Barnes in that spot. Can you see it?
I can.
Can you see them?
Different Warriors players, fans don't want to hear that, Ramona.
I just do the machine.
Because normally wings, in this situation, unless you're a KD type player, a wing is going to be a 3-and-D guy, and those are two of his biggest deficiencies. He doesn't play defense, and he doesn't shoot the three. He's a tremendous talent on the ball, handling the ball, getting to the basket, getting shots for himself, but that's not how that offense plays.
Right. And I think for the Warriors, this is something that you go all the way back to when Kevin Durant left this summer. They had a choice. Do you let him walk out the door for nothing, or do you try to swing something with Brooklyn and get something in return? And the reason why they go and try to get something in return is... Now they have some assets. We've just been talking about the Lakers and Clippers and the lack of assets that both teams had to try to do something. The Clippers had just a few more assets to get something done, and that was why they were able to. The Lakers did not. The Warriors now have, what is going to probably be a top three pick this year. Mm-hmm. They have Andrew Wiggins in a contract that is still a tough contract, but let's see what they can do with him. They just acquired it's a protected pick in the following year, but let's say the Minnesota pick is a top 10 pick. That's a valuable asset right there. And they have had this year to develop some young players who will have some value. Plus, they have a $17 million trade exception from that Andre Iguodala deal.
With all due respect.
Okay.
Shenanigans. They traded two picks and Andre Iguodala. Mm-hmm. Two first-round picks. One's never going to convey. But they traded two picks.
Okay.
And Andre Iguodala. We just saw Andre Iguodala get traded for Justice Winslow.
Right.
I think Justice Winslow would be freaking great for the Warriors. They didn't get him. And they traded Russell.
To make room. And they traded him to make room for D'Lo.
And they got two picks. I think I would rather have the cap space that they're now paying Andrew Wiggins. And I would have been in the same position. I would have my picks because, by the way.
Who would you have? Again, this is like, he should be an all-star.
There was the option with New York.
Who are you getting with that cap space?
There's a ton of different ways to use cap space.
Right.
And I'm just saying, now they are locked into Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to sit here and cry for the Warriors. They have Steph Curry. Right. They have Klay Thompson. They have Draymond Green. And they're probably going to have a top three pick this year. Mm-hmm. A-OK. Don't you worry about it. But I'm not going to sit here and say that I like the way they handled this. I don't think they handled this correctly. And if they could go back, I think they would have let Kevin Durant walk and hung on to Andre Iguodala and found a different way to use them. That's my opinion.
And let's go even this week. Mm-hmm. The Warriors also had conversations with the New York Knicks. The Knicks trade for D'Angelo Russell, they had a strong interest in him, was a very different kind of trade. The Knicks would have been sending expiring contracts and maybe a draft pick or two.
So they had a chance maybe to get some of that cap space back, and they opted not to do that.
Correct. This is where I'm talking about
the decision that they made last year.
Well, I know, but Ramona's saying that they kind of had the chance to undo it if they wanted to. Matt, I'm interested in this idea, though, the idea of letting Kevin Durant walk for nothing versus not letting him walk for nothing. I don't know how much of that was informed by Oklahoma City watching Kevin Durant walk away for nothing. What is the mentality, do you think, sort of in that desperate moment when you realize you're losing one of the superstars of this league?
Well, I think this is something new. Trading superstars before they can walk. You know, so I think this is new for everybody. It's different. I think looking back, obviously, if they could have let him go and just understood, this is just going to be the year.
Right.
We've had a hell of a run. Everyone take a break, heal up. And we're going to get back at this 2021. So looking back, they probably could have did some things different. Mm-hmm. But
you just never know. They are where they are now. I don't like the trade for Wiggins. Mm-hmm. I just don't. Like I said, good young player. I don't see him fitting in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, Bob and the Ghost guys have continued to make, you know, miracles happen. So let's just see what happens.
That's the best thing. We get to find out. We can all sit here and guess, but they're going to start playing the games. And, in fact, Andrew Wiggins expected to be in that Warriors lineup for our Saturday ABC primetime game. Oh, so that just got a little bit more interesting. Welcome. Against LeBron and the Lakers. Stay with us. We have so much more coming. Our trade deadline special, not over yet. We will break down for you where everybody has been, where they're going, and we will hop in our time machine to discuss what happens now, because that 2021 free agency market, you're about to hear a lot more about it. We will get you all ready so you're very smart for those conversations with your friends. Andre Drummond feel about being dealt out of Detroit? Well, he just tweeted the following, quote, "If there's one thing I learned about the NBA, there's no friends or loyalty. I have given my heart and soul to the Pistons, and to be having this happen with no heads up makes me realize even more this is just a business. I love you, Detroit." Matt, your reaction there?
Not surprised. You know, I think fans and some media look at players and look at them a certain way when they want to take their happiness and their future in their own hands. Anytime something like this happens from a team, it's the business. Oh, it's part of the business. Trade deadline, it's the business. But it's so much more than that to players. We have families. Guys like him have been there his whole entire career. You know, and then you look at when LeBron goes somewhere or KD moves somewhere. They're the villain. They're the snake. They're this or that. Guys just want to do what's best for them because teams have always done that, and it's been the business.
Absolutely.
And I think the other part of it to remember is he didn't get traded to the Clippers or to the Celtics or to the Rockets. He got sent to Cleveland. I know he's going to say all the right things, but there has to be a level of disappointment. Like, the good news, we got you out of Detroit. All right, cool, where are we going? Cleveland. To a team that's somehow even worse than Detroit.
Or I'm just going
to
stay in Cleveland, I would say. I'm just going to stay.
I don't know. Look, I think it is more. It is less about where he is going. I believe him. It is more It is more about, like, he says he didn't get any heads up. I don't know to that degree. We've been talking for 2 or 3 weeks about how he's likely to get traded today, but I understand maybe
if he
get
gets sent to the Clippers, he's not reacting like that.
Well, I don't know. I understand, though, and this is a push-pull that just exists in sports, and it is hard to understand how to deal with. Well, it's not just that, but you guys are asked to go into that locker room and be brothers. That's not just a cliche. You cannot win a championship unless you feel real bonds with your team, with your city, with your coach. You actually bleed. It is not an expression. You guys actually bleed for these teams, and you have to win a title, and then ripped away. So it is part of the nature of this business, and I understand why it's complicated. Brian, I want to get your take on this. Our Ramona Shelburne confirming the David Aldridge report that the Lakers are going to now work out J.R. Smith.
About time.
What do you think of that?
Well, unfortunately, J.R. really hasn't shown quality basketball in like 3 years. I mean, one of the things that happened last year with the Cavs, they benched him. The Cavs tried to trade him for months. He had the entire summer. Nobody signed him. If JR could be the guy that he was in 2016-17 era, he'd be a huge boon because he played at both ends of the court. But JR has not shown that. But I do know something about JR. He stays in fantastic shape.
Yep.
And he's the type of guy who can come out and hit 8 three-pointers like that. And I'll bet he can do that when he's 50. So The thing will just be, again, this is a guy who has not played in the NBA since November of 2018.
Right.
So it's exciting because we saw him play his best basketball next to LeBron, and I'm sure a lot of Laker fans are like, yeah, J.R. Smith. But the reality is, you know, he's going to have to prove a lot for them to cut a player. They don't have a roster spot. They'd have to cut a player to bring him in.
Well, I think the one thing to remember here is the risk-reward, right? The risk is cutting a player, right, whether it's Troy Daniels or Quinn Cook or someone like that. The reward is...
Quinn Cook is so popular in that locker room. Troy Daniels,
whoever the guy is, that's the risk, right? But at the end of the day, you're also paying what? Minimum, at most, the injury exception that they got for DeMarcus Cousins. The reward is...
The upside is huge.
Like, and at the worst-case scenario, he's a guy who doesn't play, like the guy that they probably cut right now. So I think it's worth a try and worth a look.
I agree. And I think just to counter Brian's sentiments, and I agree with you, it hasn't been quality basketball for JR for a little bit of time. But as in Dwight Howard's case, JR knows this is his last chance. I think when you have to sit out of a game you're not ready to sit out of and you still have that fire to play, you're going to change and do whatever you possibly can to fit in. No one would have thought Dwight Howard was going to do what he did this year because Dwight knew as a man, this is my last shot at this game I love. Mm-hmm. JR Spence is a friend of mine. I know he's feeling the exact same way. So I'm happy that the Lakers at least giving him a shot. And like Amin said, if he's cut for someone that he doesn't end up playing, they're in the same position.
Right.
But on the flip side, he can come in these playoffs and get hot and win a couple games for you, and you're going to be like, hell of a move. So I love the fact they're working him out, and he needs a chance.
Wow. All right. Well, we will see. And obviously a very different environment than when he left Cleveland. A lot of things in flux and changing there at that time, and the Lakers certainly know where they are trying to go. We got some interesting stuff for you on the future of the NBA, so stick with us. You are going to want to hear what's coming down the pike. We'll be right back.
How long is this show?
We need more. We need more time. Bad boys, well, really got a
choice. The Jump Trade Deadline Special is presented by Kia. Introducing the all-new Kia Seltos all-wheel drive.
All right, the Jump is heading to Chicago on February 13th and 14th. We are kicking off All-Star Weekend. Anyone who wants to come can come hang out with the Jump because Scottie Pippen will be there.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade is going to stop by and hang out with us. Trae Young is going to stop by and hang out with us. I'm revisiting my Northwestern roots. So is Michael Wilbon going to stop and hang out with us. We'll be at Navy Pier on the shores
North Bay, so they're gonna stop
of Lake Michigan. So if you want to come hang out with us on the Jump, come on by. All right, we're looking at the potential free agents. Now that the 2020 trade deadline's in the rearview mirror, 2021 free agency. We're not talking about 2020, guys, because from now on, those faces you just saw on screen, those will be the guys that everyone is planning for. You remember how for years we talked about the summer of 2019 free agency?
Yeah.
We promised you it would be a big deal.
It was.
Guess what? Everyone in the league changed teams. So 2021, that's kind of what we're looking for. Giannis, LeBron, they will all be up. So again, look at these faces. Kawhi Leonard, his deal will be
already?
Up. He will have an option to opt out. Paul George will have an option to opt out. Rudy Gobert could be a free agent, unrestricted. Unrestricted free agency for Victor Oladipo.
Wow.
I know that he is very, very hot on a lot of people's minds. Drew Holiday will have an option out. DeMar DeRozan, unrestricted free agent at that time if he wants to be. Andre Drummond, now they could become unrestricted this year, but they could just push till the next year. And Blake Griffin as well. So look, this is going to influence, everybody as they go forward. It is why I don't expect to see a big free agency summer this summer because everyone's saving their money.
Right. Well, I mean, I just saw on Twitter Kevin O'Connor talk about the reason why Miami couldn't get Gallinari. It wasn't because of what OKC was demanding. It's because Gallinari wanted a deal that was going to give him a couple of years security, and Miami didn't want to give up that flexibility for 2021. So we're already seeing it impact decision-making today.
And you know what's crazy that you brought up Miami? Because that's why I think Giannis is going
to
be in 2021. Absolutely.
Why are you moving him off Milwaukee already?
Because
he hasn't even a chance to try to win a title this year.
Because this is why, Rachel. First of all, Giannis fits that Miami Heat culture, means hard work.
Yeah.
Moving to Miami under the great Pat Riley, and I just see it happening. I'm sorry. Him and Jimmy Butler, I said it weeks ago. I see Giannis going to the Miami Heat.
That's not
appreciate
bad.
That intro.
I believe that's all going to be determined on what happens in the next couple years with the
Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. Look, if they win a title this year.
For a title this year, and although we've seen Kawhi leave a title team, it can happen. But I just believe Giannis has to be a loyal type of guy. If he wins in Milwaukee, he'll probably most likely stay.
And to be honest, he seems happy there. I think that's a big thing.
Why nobody should be trying to get him. Now, here's one thing I do think about Giannis. I think that he will have the chance to sign a Supermax this summer. Even if he wants to stay, he might not sign the Supermax this summer because he will still have the chance to sign a Supermax in 2021.
Right.
We're assuming he's not going to fall off. He'll still make all the same qualifications. And that it might be worth keeping that extra year of pressure on the Bucks and letting them go.
What's going on? Go ahead.
Would LeBron go back to Miami ever?
No, absolutely.
Never.
No chance.
LeBron's name up on that board.
You know what's so funny about Giannis? When you look at his contract, he probably is the most underpaid player
In the
well, look,
league.
I mean, that's
all,
the best
all
player
the
because there's a salary cap in this league. The best player is always the most underpaid player. And if I had to predict, I would predict he stays in Milwaukee. I'm just interested to see how it happens. But don't forget, this is not just about Giannis in 2020.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard is up. Paul George could be up.
A majority of them, the guys who are going to have the most impact, are most likely going to stay in place. Absolutely. George.
That's not what
Leonard,
happened this summer.
But maybe not Oladipo or maybe not.
Oladipo in Miami.
Oladipo in Miami. Keep
but listen,
that.
Let me tell you one thing about it, right? So, Giannis, his only thing, the only thing that he has to accomplish is what? Is winning a title. He wins the title in Miami. Next, what he has to worry about? His individual and getting his bankroll up.
All right,
go get his bankroll up.
This is important, Kendrick. I want to get this in at the buzzer. The LA Times, guys, reporting that there will be a memorial for Kobe Bryant. It is going to be at the Staples Center. And listen to the date. February 24th,
2/24.
Yeah. Of course, Gianna's number 22, one of Kobe's numbers 24. Guys, the fact that L.A. will have a chance to say goodbye to a legend.
In the house that Kobe built.
In the house that Kobe built. Yeah. Just, that is beautiful. All right, as we say goodbye, Brian Windhorst confirming David Aldridge's report that Tristan Thompson will not be a buyout. So, Paul, wait on that for the Celtics. Thank you guys for joining us, all our amazing guests here in L.A. We're back tomorrow.